using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, September the 24th, year of our Lord 2021, day 559 of the New World Orders. And the New World Orders are, you will get the vaccine or else. Nothing will be allowed outside of the precious. This is a cult, folks. It is a conspiracy. Is it any wonder that these governments around the world have all picked the middle of September, the end of August, about a two-week period in order to force these vaccinations on us? It's just a coincidence, right? It's not a conspiracy. Many of them even picking the exact same date, country after country, worldwide. We're going to take a look at the New World Orders, the fights in every country. We've got Switzerland now pushing back and having big riots, as well as Australia and others. We'll take a look at the mandated Trump shots. We're going to take a look at the supply chains of slavery as they're pushing us toward a Hunger Game environment at warp speed. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, today we're also going to have Gerald Slinty joining us in the third hour. And anxious to get his comments on what is happening with this massive scam that's happened in China, melting down and affecting markets. But there's many other things that have happened economically. We also have the Congress, U.S. Congress, quietly sneaking in a crypto bill amendment that would put forward our worst nightmare, and that is a central bank digital currency. That is the linchpin to control everything that we do. Because you have to understand, and I hope you do by now, that underneath all of this stuff that is happening, underneath all of the so-called pandemic, underneath this depopulation vaccine, underneath the political lockdowns and the rest of this are the bankers. It always goes back to the bankers. The bankers are the ones who are going to make sure that you own nothing, that they control everything, and they'll do it through economics. And the key way that these bankers are going to control everything through economics is with this central bank digital cash. So we're going to talk about that as well. We'll talk to Gerald Slinty about that. But let's talk about this police state vaccination by the precious. You know, when we look at Australia, and this is a shot from a couple of days ago. When I saw this shot, it's a mixture of people standing on what I believe this is a shot of. I think they were standing at the Shrine of Remembrance where they were having the rally, peaceful rally, a shrine to remember the contributions of Australian soldiers who died in World War II to defend their freedom. And then you have this army of jackbooted thugs. And so the two are, at this moment of this picture, lined up facing each other off. And in the background, is a skyline of a massive city. Melbourne is a very large city. And as I looked at this picture, I thought about the fact that whenever you have a conflict for freedom, there's only going to be a few people who fight. Most of the people in that large city are doing absolutely nothing. They're not engaged in it. They don't care. They don't understand that the precedent that is being set. They don't understand the slavery that is coming if they comply with that. One of the things that has changed, that's the way it's always been. You go back and you look at the Revolutionary War. You look at the Civil War, other wars. That kind of changed in the middle of the 20th century when they had weapons of mass destruction. At that point in time, they could take the war to the general population with massive bombing campaigns, the V-2 rockets and things like that. And that has been the situation since. The middle since World War II, that they could take it to the population. What has changed in the 21st century is the population doesn't even realize that it's getting a weapon of mass destruction, the vaccine. They don't even understand that. They can do it by stealth. They can do it by psychological manipulation, censorship, control of the narrative. And so how do we fight back against this? Well, let's start by the traditional way, and let's not throw anything that is in our capability away. I was sent this notification from the John Birch Society, jbs.org, johnbirchsociety.org. They have, they're good people. They saw a lot of this stuff coming from the very beginning. They said, we do not want to have a militarized federal police. That was decades ago. Very popular in the 1960s, support your local sheriff. They saw much of this that's happening. They tried to organize to do letter writing, campaigns, traditional politics, and we should never throw that away. And so if you want to know some of the ways that you can fight back against this, I talked many times about letters and templates, giving you many examples of how you can put together a case for your religious, sincerely held religious beliefs and a religious exemption to these mandates. But the John Birch Society, jbs.org, also has pre-written letters that say you can customize these to whatever you want to personally say to your senators, your representatives at the federal and state level, all provided, and then call them after you've sent your email, Stand for Liberty. I know that this seems like something that is not going to have much of an effect, but I can tell you that in the late 80s, when we got involved with the homeschooling movement, believe me, it looked pretty desperate because we were allied against a massive, massive union and the teachers' unions and the government that wanted to have government schools to dictate to the kids and to train the kids in the way they wanted them to be brought up, not in the fear of the Lord, but in the fear of government. And the trust in government, the belief in government, and government. And so they had a vested interest in keeping these government schools together. The labor unions, massive number of them, and we were outnumbered. But because it was a massive campaign by a lot of people, and they don't typically hear from anybody, most of the time the people are back in their homes or somewhere else, not even involved. And so if you get involved with a large campaign and they hear from a lot of people, because so many people just sit back silently, take whatever they give, that makes a difference. We should never despise the things that might have the opportunity to start to turn the tide and that are peaceful. So take advantage of that. One of the things that they said at John Birch Society was understand that COVID tyranny is not limited to left-wing states or to blue enclaves. This is not limited to Australia or other places in Europe. This is going to be coming everywhere. It is a global agenda. Unless we act now, every single American will be forced to take multiple injections, follow-up boosters. There's no end in sight. And every other individual liberty will be taken away. It is absolutely imperative that all Americans, regardless of their vaccine status, reject every vaccine mandate, reject every passport scheme, including any type of digital ID or health ID. Furthermore, our state and local officials must forcefully nullify the federal government's unconstitutional mandates. So take advantage of that. You know, it's a slim chance that you're religious mandate is going to be recognized, but you do it anyway. There's a slim chance that any of these federal or state officials are going to pay any attention, but you do it anyway. You never know. You never know how that's going to work. And then I had a letter from someone, I think, I'm not sure if they were in Australia or if they were just observing about this, but the comments that I made, I said, you know, blocking roads, that's, I don't know if that's counterproductive for the people there, and I stand corrected. Because he said blocking highways is justified. And I got to say, I agree with him. Listen to his logic, what he pointed out. In Australia, the vaccine mandates are stopping the unvaccinated from participating in social and economic life. Blocking roads stops the vaccinated from participating in social and economic life. Do you understand? They've got this limitation as to who can leave their home and how far you can go. Yeah, 5 kilometers. 3 miles away from your home. And so these people on the highway, for the most part, are people who have been vaccinated. People who have complied with the system. Businesses who have complied with the system. Businesses who are partnering with the system. And so in a sense, what you're doing when you stop the traffic there, in that particular case, you're pushing back against the Vichy government that is cooperating with the Nazis. That's the analogy. He doesn't use that, but that's what the way I see it. He said, presumably the vast majority of people driving are vaxxed in this locked down Melbourne. So if they lock us down, we lock you down. I agree. He said, most of these motorists, if not all, are complicit because they submit. Even better would be to target the roads around the dictator's office and home, force him to use a helicopter because the ground isn't safe, encircle the police stations so they can't send vehicles out. This is perfectly justified, legitimate, and a moral tactic under the circumstances seen in Australia. I agree. I have another letter written from, this is coming from someone in Australia, talking about what is going on with the union boss. There have been long-standing rumors of corruption at the construction union's boss, John Setka, specifically in exchange to drop very serious numerous charges of corruption against him in exchange for jabbing all of his thousands of workers. Well, of course, this is the way politics works, isn't it? In every country, there is a selection, even if there is a competitive election, there is a selection of candidates who will be allowed to compete. I think one of the best examples, and I keep going back to it, is Dennis Hastert. The guy who had no qualifications in leadership and entrepreneurship, he was a high school wrestling coach. His single qualification was that he was blackmailable. He had no charisma. He had no intelligence. He had no, if you've ever seen Dennis Hastert, there's absolutely nothing. You look at this and you say, how do people like that? How do we get the worst people in society, you know, the NPCs. How do we wind up with a Congress of NPCs? Well, because they are playable characters. They're not non-playable characters. They can be played. They can be blackmailed. They can be useful fronts. And that's exactly what Dennis Hastert was. He was a pedophile, a high school wrestling coach. They selected him, pushed him to get elected into Congress. They made him the Speaker of the House, longest-serving Republican Speaker of the House. And that's not limited to the Republican Party, for sure. That's not limited to Dennis Hastert either, for sure. So is this union boss being blackmailed? Did they make a backroom deal with him? Let's not be naive. As Michael Corleone said to Kay. Who's being naive here, Kay? We don't have any stand-up guys there for the most part. And if they do, you know, occasionally you can get some good people in, but they relegate them over to the side. Certainly when it comes to legislative bodies, they have a way to make sure that you don't do anything. You know, it's all run by the committees, and the committees are all chosen and selected. You know, they have fine-tuned control of the parliamentary process so that nothing gets done. So now, in response, the latest thing that the Australian government has done, besides shutting down videos, shutting down cell phone towers, banning anybody from doing any aerial photography, but then removing that for the mainstream media that will put out their objectives. Still, you have people who are taking shots from higher buildings, getting that kind of an aerial shot. But it's very difficult for people to connect with each other. And they have now shut down all the construction sites for 2 weeks. And if you look at the way the mainstream media is reporting this, and I was surprised to see that this article was picked up by Zero Hedge. It's from a construction dive, Jennifer Goodman of Construction Dive. And it is just pushing the mainstream media's narrative. They said the union released a statement. This union that the guy is completely controlled. And he says, we don't care about the interest of our union members. We have to look at the greater interest of society. And all of you who are pushing back are a bunch of man-baby Nazis. He literally said that in a conciliatory gesture, right? No, he had a gesture, all right. It wasn't conciliatory. It was upside down as he came out. The union released a statement saying it condemned the protests and it condemned mindless acts of violence. Oh, yeah. They said it clear that a minority of those who participated were actually actual union members. The statement said many protesters were not construction workers, but members of neo-Nazi and other right-wing extremist groups. Well, you know, we talk about mindless acts of violence. When we talk about neo-Nazis, the graphics of this particular picture are a little bit awkward for the real Nazis. Here you have some jackbooted thugs. By the way, you notice they've even got little Nazi-style helmets. You know, they got a little duck tail on the back. And they're there with their armor and their shields. One of them is pointing and barking orders at a grandma who is leaning on her cane. She's masked up, and it's under her nose so she can breathe. But they're pointing and giving her orders. So we wouldn't think that there's any mindless acts of violence happening by anybody other than people who pretend that they're construction workers but aren't. How about people who pretend they're police officers and aren't? Who pretend that they're law enforcement and aren't? Who pretend they have laws that they're enforcing but they don't? Yeah, that is a very telling story. And, of course, we've seen the pictures of the thugs as they're going along, a little old lady standing there caught in, you know, the confusion, shoving her to the ground, hitting her head, and then leaning over and spraying her in the face, which is not a threat to them. So, yeah, that little old lady there with the cane, she better take those directions from those people. They went on to say in this article, again, a mainstream media push, the worker protest began last week when tea rooms, quote-unquote tea rooms, where tradespeople congregate during breaks were shut down amid the rising Delta farce. Now, they call it Delta surge. That prompted construction workers to take their lunch breaks outside and protest. They set up tables and plastic chairs in multiple intersections in central Melbourne. They were blocking roads, as you can see here, holding up traffic. Following the protest, construction and state officials announced that job sites in Melbourne and other areas of the region will be closed for at least 2 weeks, beginning Tuesday. So, is that really the... Did you notice anything in this article about vaccine mandates? Not a word. Why did they close the tea rooms? Why were the people eating in the streets? Well, it was because of the vaccine mandates. But they want you to believe that this is a few right-wing neo-Nazis that are doing all this stuff. That is not true. And it is not just limited to construction workers. There's rubber bullets being fired at them by people who say that they're not Nazis. I say, Hans, do you think we're the bad guys? We've got these helmets that look like the Nazis. This article goes on to say, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews, or the China bot, if you will, Dan Android, said that multiple outbreaks, as high as 13% of all cases, have been linked to construction sites. Give me a break. No, it begins by kicking people outside of all the businesses. Then the next step is to kick you out of your job. And so in Switzerland, there have been several things that have happened there, again, following the same type of pattern. As I said before, the 13th of September is when they're going to mandate vaccine passports for everybody over the age of 16, including tourists in Switzerland. I guess I'll never get back. I was wanting to take Karen there because I really did. I had a chance to visit there when I was very young, and I really did like Switzerland, but we'll not be getting back there. Can't fly without a vaccine, can't get into the country, can't go anywhere without a vaccine passport. I'm not getting it. So what happened is it began the same way as it did in Australia. Unless you get a vaccine, you're not going to get into anything, right? We're going to block you out of bars, restaurants, social events, and you need to present proof of this on your smartphone. Where did we see that first? Oh, yeah, that was in China where they did the beta test. I'm telling you, this has been developed by DARPA and the American tech giants that they put in place a long time ago. But they did the beta testing of it in China. They called it a social credit system. Then they were telling us, hey, we need to have that here in order to control the pandemic. It's all about contact control. Remember I said yesterday, the movie on the 10th anniversary of their anthrax false flag attack, Contagion, done by Steven Soderbergh. Freedom of Information Act shows that exactly what the CDC wanted them to do. Right, they're getting money just like the CIA and the military-industrial complex. The Pentagon gives money to companies that portray them in a positive light and sell their narrative to the public in a predictive programming kind of way. And so what the CDC wanted the message to come out of Contagion was, CDC was were the heroes. CDC was going to save you. One of the things that they needed to do was to have complete surveillance and contact tracing. And so you wind up with these things on your phone. The attack on the freedom to travel, the freedom to socialize, has sparked a massive backlash in Switzerland, writes the Freethought Project. When these announcements were made and the passes rolled out in Europe, hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets in France, Switzerland, and Italy. Many of the protests turned violent as police clashed with the modern freedom fighters. However, other protests did not turn violent, and in some instances, police even joined in with the protesters in an ostensible effort to end up on the right side of history. Now, as we see this happening, one person in France said, personally, I'm not vaccinated. I won't be, but it doesn't matter. What we are forbidden from doing, whether it's being forbidden from going to stores, swimming pools, cinemas, it doesn't matter. Life is priceless. Freedom, that's precisely it. Freedom to not be vaccinated and to not give in to the government's blackmail. Just in principle, if you want to love your neighbor, in principle, stand against this precedent that's being started right now. Regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not, regardless of what you think about the pandemic or the vaccine, can't you see what is being done, how this is being used? And again, this is the thing we talk to people all the time about false flags. It's like, can't you see how they are taking an event, real or created, and how they are using this for their long-planned agenda? We see this over and over again, and that's what we're seeing now. So just as we had this began in Australia with people not being allowed to go into restaurants, and so you had the, to eat on their lunch break, and so they start eating in the streets. This is now happening in Switzerland. Look at this. This person is walking down, and the street is filled. Little clusters of people eating on picnic blankets, sitting on the ground. Some of them have chairs and tables, but many do not. And then the interesting thing is, look at that over there on the right. You see people talking to each other, standing there talking to each other. As he keeps walking through this, you're going to see more and more people talking to it. Look at this. These guys are four or five different men from different families talking about this. I wonder what the topic of conversation is. Do you think they're wondering about what's going to be happening in the next sporting event game? Well, no, that's been shut down. That's been shut down. So I think maybe they're getting together in the same way that they wanted to shut down the pubs in the UK because they didn't want people getting together and talking about how insane this is and what are we going to do to push back against this. They don't want you talking to other people, organizing how you're going to create a parallel society, an underground society, or how you're going to directly challenge their rules without any authority. And that's what people are doing now. You saw how big that crowd was in the street. So they're saying that if establishments and event organizers in Switzerland do not comply with their certificate requirement, they'll be fined. They'll be closed down. They said it'll have to run through the cantons. That's the equivalent to the Swiss states are responsible for monitoring the compliance. But it's coming from the central government. Central government in Switzerland has never been very strong. Switzerland has a better support of liberty and the principles that America had at the beginning. We lost that, but they've kept that for the most part. They have a militia that defends their country. They train people with fully automatic rifles. They keep those rifles at home. They are true militia. They're trained, and they are equipped with all of the tools to fight a war to defend their country. That's how they were able to maintain their neutral stance in the middle of World War II. There was any way that you were going to get into Switzerland. They had built fortifications, concrete fortifications into the mountains where nobody was going to be able to get through there. So with a citizen militia like that, with a tradition of decentralization, I remember saying in the late 80s, telling people, you know, most people in Switzerland don't know who the president of the country is. They don't care. It makes no difference to their life. But it does now. It does now. Because from the central government, they're running this out through the different Swiss states, different cantons. Free Thought Project writes, while a disturbingly large portion of society is embracing this modern-day scarlet letter, an encouraging amount of folks are resisting. You know, this is kind of interesting. As a Christian, I look at this and I think, isn't it interesting that probably more than half of the people are supporting this, but there's a sizable chunk of people, 30, 40% of the people who don't. At the same time, they're having a referenda about homosexual marriage and whether or not homosexual couples will be able to do adoption. 60 to 40 in favor of that. And as we see these things happening, I personally do not think that it is a coincidence that when we turn our back on God and his pattern, that he starts to pull the wheels off of our societies. That's my opinion. As in France, the Swiss are setting up free terraces in front of bars and restaurants, as you just saw. In Winterthur, where the health pass entered into force this weekend in Switzerland, you had this happening. Take a look at the protests. This is pretty big. Pretty big protest, isn't it? And it continued to go on. This is began during the day, goes into the night. And then after a while, what happens is you have the... look at this. This is massive. Everybody in the streets. There's another one coming over the weekend. Stop censorship, stop the dictatorship of the vaccine. That's the name of the demonstration. Later in the night, they're marching through the streets. And then the police come out, and they line up with people, block the street. After an impasse, you've got some people that are walking up and laying down flowers or other things in front of them in a mockery. And then the police have had enough of this, so they've got a water cannon there, and they start unleashing that on individuals. So they begin with the water cannon. And pretty soon, they start shooting people with rubber bullets and advancing. Like, oh, I don't know, Nazis? There's one guy standing there as they're hitting him with a massive, massive water and overspray. I guess they haven't hit him directly with a water can. But in a little while, here they are. Look at this. This is Switzerland. This is Switzerland. This is Switzerland, the land of William Tell. That's in Altdorf. I saw that myself, actually, when I went to Switzerland. A very moving story. Hunger Games. Tried to do a spin on that. Of course, making turning William Tell into a female. But yeah, the crossbow. He engaged in what they call tyrannicide, which is, you know, killing the tyrant. That was what happened later in that program, and it was a rallying point for people. And, of course, Switzerland has a long history. This is in Lucerne. This was amazing. This is done as a memorial to Swiss guards who died in the French Revolution shortly after that. This is a lion who has a broken spear sticking out of its side, laying on a shield, the Lion of Lucerne. These people have a long history of freedom. And it remains to be seen whether we have anything left in us or not, doesn't it? You know, people in Australia, they have a long history of fighting for their freedom. People in Switzerland, probably the longest of anybody. And We'll see what happens. Do we have it left in us here in America to do anything about this? Are we going to be pushed into slavery at warp speed? Because it's coming very fast. We'll be pushed into slavery by warp speed, won't we? Happening even faster and faster. So they began using rubber bullets against people. By the way, I think that protest was in Bern. It's more than one city in Switzerland where this is happening. So in Bern, in Winterthur, and in other places, they're pushing back against it. And Switzerland rolled out the passports effective September the 13th. Keep seeing that date everywhere, September the 13th. And think about the fact that there is no emergency. You see it, as you saw in the summer, you had Macron say, well, we're going to roll out mandated vaccines, and you're going to have vaccines to work and so forth. And we're going to do this in stages. We're going to roll it out gradually, 2-3 months. Same thing is happening here. They were going to have it pretty much rolled out by the middle of September, beginning of October, everywhere, worldwide. Even September 13th, one of the most popular dates with all of these governments around the world, because this is a global war against all of the people. Your governments are at war with you. I don't know how many more ways to tell you or to show you. Better wake up. And then you have the people who should have your back, the people who should be organizing this, the people who are religious leaders, thinking about it on this, whether you're talking about the Pope or you're talking about Southern Baptist leaders, or whether you're talking about the Mormons. The Mormon Church is now going to require masks. They didn't require it for the last 2 years, but now they're going to require masks. Effective immediately, all temple patrons. I guess that's what they call church members, temple patrons, patrons. And workers are asked to wear face masks at all times while in the temple. And they said, it's gotten really bad, says Yahoo. They reported 25 deaths in the last 28 days. This is in a state of 3.3 million people. 25 deaths. Uh-huh. You got a chance of 1 in 132,000. You know, when they start to go through and talk about risks, you know, what's your risk of dying from a fall? What's your risk of dying from drowning and so forth? They usually put those in as, you know, how many people out of 100,000 will die of that in a given year. And so some of the more risky behaviors, you know, like falling in your bathroom, you might have 12, 15, 20 chances out of 100,000. What they're saying here in Utah as to why they have to mask everybody going into the Mormon temples is because you got a chance of 1 in 132,000. Whitmer is looking at the 2022 election, and she's already trying to fix up her image somewhat in the same way that Newsom did. You're going to see Newsom double down come winter time, because you know, that was really what I think was behind pulling back from the churches that they penalized that continued to remain open. MacArthur's Church, you had the city of L.A. as well as California State, both of them gave them $400,000 and let them take the fines that they had held in escrow. And you had other churches in the area get more than $2 million in compensation. And so they're trying to make nice with people, and they're opening things up a little bit so they can get reelected and then crack down again because you're just on parole. These people have taken this power to themselves. They've taken the power to act as dictators. And until you remove these dictators, until you remove those powers, they will continue to exercise that and do that to you. As soon as you vote for them, they'll do it again. So, as they point out in this article, Zero Hedge from American Thinker, you know, she's not only has she been a ice queen, but she has been caught in multiple examples of hypocrisy, just like Newsom has. Caught boating when she had forbidden ordinary people in Michigan to do any boating. She went out and did it herself. She's caught traveling to Florida, violating her own proclamations. She exempted her family and herself, and so there's a lot of resentment that's grown. Even this fake FBI kidnapping scam, which was meant to make her look good and to also practice for January the 6th, even that didn't help her. And she's now facing former Detroit Police Chief James Craig. She's trailing him right now by 6 points. And he's a Republican, he's black, and a former Detroit Police Chief. So there's a couple of polls that have come out, one of them right-leaning, but also the polls that have been done by the Chamber of Commerce there in Detroit also show her losing. So she's trying to moderate things to make you think that she's not a dictator so she can get the reins of power again. I thought it was kind of interesting, this story out of DailySkeptic.org saying women are consistently more pro-lockdown, finds a study. Well, of course. Why do we call it the nanny state? Yeah, you do have Big Brother. Big Brother will give you the truncheon and stomp on your face. But it's the nanny state that is based on fear, based on the promise that they'll keep you safe and secure. You just do what nanny says. That's what this is really about. And it's not just the female leaders. They said a survey of the general population, they looked at attitudes of men and women across the board. The survey measured respondents' concern about the pandemic, their attitudes to lockdown measures such as closing schools and quote-unquote non-essential businesses, and their self-reported compliance with government restrictions. And they did it across 8 different countries. And they said women were more likely than men to be concerned about the pandemic. Women were about 7 percentage points more pro-lockdown than men. They said this is not explained by demographic characteristics such as age or education or occupation. Look, this is, they said, and they were like, this is really strange because, you know, we're told by the experts that the pandemic is more lethal for men than it is for women. Well, I guess they just don't understand the difference between men and women. Men are more risk-averse, sometimes way too willing to take risks. And, of course, I don't know. you see that all the time. See that between Karen and I in terms of, I don't know, guns, driving, a lot of different things, right? Men just do... are more willing to engage in risky behavior. It's just that simple. But that's one of the reasons why they are looking for women to run this nanny state, is because they are going to genuinely buy into this safety and security in exchange for liberty. Yeah, men are just going to run out there whether it kills them or not in many cases. And that's really what we need. We need to have a live free or die attitude. Honestly, we do. If you don't have that attitude, you will never live free. If you're not willing to put your... And you'll never live. If you're going to give up your liberty for the promise of safety and security, you're dead already. And there's always been a Faustian bargain from the get-go. You never wind up... It's the promise, as Benjamin Franklin said. You know, if you give up essential liberty for the promise of safety, you don't deserve either. History has shown that you get neither either. So AMA, the American Medical Association, is talking to doctors about how they can manipulate terms to promote vaccination. And I did an article over a year ago about how Yale was talking about the different ways that they were going to do mass communication. You know, they're going to rely, of course, on the things that we've seen over and over again. We have science, we have experts, that type of thing. But also the guilt trips. You have to do this out of love for your neighbor. And look at the people who have died. Don't you feel guilty about this because it's all your fault. You didn't do what we told you to do, and that's why these people died. You didn't get your shot. So that's been a part of that for a long time. But at the AMA, they're talking to doctors about how they can shut down objections when they're with people one-on-one. And we see this over and over again, the way the left has carefully selected terms and the way that they will grab the high ground. For example, liberal used to mean liberty. It used to mean people who were interested in liberty. And the people who want a strong central government and a socialist system seized on that in the early part of the 20th century in America. Not in all countries, but in America they did. Because that had a good reputation. So now you'll have some people say, well, I'm a classical liberal, and most people just scratch their head and go, what is a classical liberal? You mean you're with the French Revolution or something? No. It meant somebody who was for individual liberty, civil liberty, and economic liberty, a libertarian. So they had to come up with another name because the left stole the word liberty or liberal, the meaning. And they always do that. And they're always looking for terms. You know, they call themselves progressives instead of Marxists. They play the game children of undocumented migrants and things like that instead of illegal aliens. They do this with politics all the time. But this is the way the AMA is doing it. Key messages. They said, think about the terms that you're going to use in order to get people to do what you want them to do. And what you want them to do is to take the pharmaceutical products, particularly the vaccine, the precious. So here's how you get people to take the precious. They were told not to say coronavirus or COVID-19, but instead to use the word pandemic. Instead of saying hospitalization rates, you use the term deaths, even though the words have completely different meanings. This is a story, by the way, from Dr. McCullough. And, actually what you're starting to see here because of the incentivized medical malpractice, we're going to get to that in a second here. You're starting to see hospitalization be synonymous with death, but we'll put that aside for the moment. They're currently not exactly the same thing. Instead of saying it's the government, you say it's public health agencies. Instead of talking about consequences for not taking a vaccine, you talk about the benefits of taking it. It's going to give you your freedom, right? Except it doesn't. It's just like give up your liberty for safety and security. Well, that doesn't happen. And when they tell you if you give up your freedom of choice or you take this vaccine, it's going to make you safe and it's going to make you free. It does neither of those. Doctors are also told not to tell patients, quote, getting the vaccine is the right thing to do. Instead, you say getting the vaccine will keep you safe. See? Keep you safe. Discover, create, invent. Don't use those words. Say research. Research is science. It's no longer a lockdown. Instead, it is a stay-at-home order. You see how they cynically use the language? This is war-gamed by these people. Just like they're war-gaming last July, Yale and the National Institutes of Health, how they were going to craft the messages. Under the Trump administration, they had $250 million earmarked for an ad council national campaign. But they carefully looked at the different ways they were going to manipulate people. They carefully look at the different ways that they're going to use terminology. The AMA provides a full page of instructions on how to steer the conversation, how to block, how to deflect, and how to stall when faced with tough questions. Or an honest answer might just break the official narrative, said Mercola. Yeah, you steer the conversation back to the narrative by saying, before we leave that matter, let me add, and then you give them your talking points. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll talk about mandated Trump shots. We'll talk about toxic medicine. And, of course, what is happening with economics. And we have Gerald Celente joining us in the third hour. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show. At Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
Let's take a quick look at the mandates. And I want to begin by going back to December. December the 11th, on my show when I was still at InfoWars, and this is an article I wrote when we were still doing articles on Roundtable Report. Prediction. When and how vaccines will be mandated. I told you then, and I'd already been telling you actually before that, I started talking about this just before the election, because I said it isn't going to make any difference whether it's Trump or Biden because of the way they're going to roll this thing out. I stand by that. And let me tell you what I said back in at the beginning of December 2020. I said I believe when they'll mandate it will be the third quarter of next year, now. First will be the people who take it to keep their jobs, the heroes. They'll be the guinea pigs, the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the military. And no matter what happens, you won't hear of any problems. If it gets really egregious and someone complains enough, they'll dismiss it as an isolated case, I said, in December. I wrote it down for your reference there. I said, no matter what happens, they'll spin it so that it's not a problem. Then by the second or third quarter, they'll say, I know you didn't trust us when we started rolling this out with only 2 months of testing, but now we've been doing this for 6 months. We've got a whole 8 months of testing now, and you aren't going anywhere unless you get the vaccine. It's my prediction, I said in December of 2020, that that'll happen third quarter of next year. I have another prediction of how they will mandate it. Whether it is Biden or Trump, they'll mandate it through the employers. They'll do it through the schools. Trump is fine with that. He suggested that they do that for measles.
They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so important. This is really.
I said, what do you think he's going to do with COVID, right? Oh, this is really going around. You got to get it. Well, you know, COVID, oh, that's something. We got to, you know, tens of billions of dollars. Get the military. Let's rush this stuff out. You approve this today or you're fired. You don't think that he would have run this thing through? I said, he may have done it from more of a standpoint of a financial incentive to corporations. I can imagine what Trump would do would be throw billions of dollars at corporations as an incentive to get them to vaccinate their people rather than Biden is doing. But it would have been done nevertheless, and it would have been done through the corporations. I also said, when you look at the fact that Javier Becerra had already been picked by Biden to run HHS, I said he's going to run it through them. He's going to run it through HHS. He's running it through OSHA. OSHA is a division of HHS. Why did I say that? Because Javier Becerra is not a health individual. Trump picked people from the pharmaceutical industry, put them in at the FDA, at HHS. His HHS secretary was the former CEO of Eli Lilly. That was the development stage. And you understand that Trump and Biden are in on this. It is professional wrestling. It's a tag team match. So during the Trump administration, they're going to create this stuff, roll it out at warp speed. They'll have, as his consigliere, they'll have a pharmaceutical guy in the spot at HHS. And then the fact that Biden put in a lawyer tells you what they're going to do. How they're going to run this through. They're going to come up, they're going to war game this out as how they can do this with lawfare and how they can run as close as they can to mandating it for everybody but coercing them. So I said after 2 months of testing, they will have decided, they've now decided rather, that the advantages outweigh the risks, I said back in December. You don't get to decide that for yourself. It's going to be mandated through you, for you through corporations, through government threats, through HHS, Javier Becerra, and OSHA, which is underneath HHS. People began to get become aggressive enforcers, pressuring and calling out the unvaccinated, blaming them for all that is wrong in the world. Oh, yes, that's exactly the statement. That's not me now. That is somebody that works for Disney. You know, I talked about how yesterday, I think it was, maybe 2 days ago, I talked about Apple and Disney and how these are not the happiest places on earth. And even though Apple is, you know, like a black hole for profits, they're not being shared. You know, it goes into the corporate black hole and it doesn't come out to the employees either. And so the same thing is happening at Disney. We are not their slaves, they said. And yet, as they're looking at this, they're talking about the long-term effect of this gradual rollout, where people become aggressive enforcers, where the vaccinate, where the unvaccinated are now Typhoid Mary, where we are portrayed as the problem. We are the disease. They've gone from an imaginary virus to pushing us. And that's the thing. You know, when we talk about this, and I've talked about this many times, I had some guy trolling me on BitChute. I get trolled all the time by neo-Nazis. They hate me on BitChute. Every time I call somebody a Nazi, I get some upset because they like Nazis. And then I had some guy say, well, why don't you tell people there's no virus? I don't know how many different ways I have to tell you. I said, why don't you watch my program and then you'll know how better to troll me, anonymous commenter. But no, look, I've said many times, the pandemic is total nonsense. It was based on a test that was magnified by a trillion times. At the beginning, they didn't have a test. And we found that out for sure. I was telling everybody that. You know, I said, look, we don't have any tests that we can send around. There was a lot of criticism of that. Do you remember? People were saying, why didn't Trump put these tests together? Why didn't Fauci? Or why didn't this? So everybody's pointing fingers at each other. Why don't we have these tests? And then in August, when they didn't want to pay the bounty to the American Hospital Association, AHA, they said, you told us at the beginning you didn't have any tests, and the ones that you had didn't work. They were taking tests that didn't work. They were magnifying them by a trillion times. And then it got even worse. We learned this August, as they said, well, we're going to switch the tests out in December. Because we want to have tests that are going to test not only for our COVID virus, but they're also going to test for flu and so forth. So they'll have multiple aspects to it. It's not that they don't work, of course. It's that they're going to be testing for multiple things. And then as John Rappaport discovered going through the documents, and I read those to you at the time, the FDA said, well, we've got 59 different tests right now. We can't compare them to each other for accuracy because they're all testing for something different. We made it up because we don't have an isolated virus. We made it up. Some of these are synthesized. Some of them are full. Some of them are partial mRNA sequences, and that's what they're testing for. And then magnifying by a trillion times. And then doing clinical diagnoses because they don't even have the tests so they can get the money. This whole thing is such a fraud. So, and you say that I'm pushing the virus here? The virus narrative? I'm not pushing the virus narrative. All Disney employees must get jabbed through unionized employees at Disney World. They have until October the 22nd, while non-unionized workers have until the end of September, just like you see happening in France and Switzerland and on, Australia. After our first march through Disney World last week, we heard from firefighters' unions, police officers, healthcare workers, especially nurses, who all expressed outrage that their employers are acting like they own the bodies of their employees. So the guy who said, yeah, they're all becoming like these little enforcers. This is something that we always see in totalitarian, authoritarian societies. I remember when, and it was about 6 or 7 years ago, they had a lot of diaries and records that came out from when the Stasi in East Germany were operating. And people were able to see who the informants were. You had more than half of the country informing on more than the other half of the country. I mean, everybody was pointing the finger at everybody else. But there was one person in particular who was a dyed-in-the-wool communist. She loved communism. She was an American. She moved to East Germany because she loved communism. She went there to study. And she wanted to stay, and she married an East German guy because she wanted to live under communism. And she loved it, and she was so hurt to find out these people were spying on her. Her friends were spying on her and reporting her to the Stasi. Not only that, but the Stasi didn't trust her because the Stasi didn't trust anybody, right? Just as we're seeing now in Australia and every other place, the Stasi doesn't trust an authoritarian government, the police state. They don't trust, nobody is worthy of trust. And so they were suspicious of her because she was American. And they thought that she was some kind of a spy. So they had all of the friends and neighbors, everybody that they knew was spying on them. And she said, though, when she talked about life there in East Germany, she said when you'd meet people outside of their job, they were so polite and friendly. But she said, if you go into the butcher shop where they're working as a clerk and everybody is lined up in a line to try to get the few goods that they have, and they would be so officious, barking orders to everybody, you know, kind of like you see at TSA and the way you see flight attendants acting now in airlines, it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And that's what you're seeing now, as this guy, the Disney employee, said. We're seeing the fact that people who are there with the government and they've been propagandized to see you as the problem, you as a disease, and you see how this is polarizing our society. And it's nothing new. This is what totalitarian governments always do, pushing people against each other. We are not their slaves. We have rights. And the most important right is the governance over our body. But slavery is coming. It's coming at warp speed. It's coming with warp speed. Vaccines. Members held signs near Disney Springs reading, "Coercion is not consent." That's the most amazing thing to me, is that these neo-Stasi here in the U.S. Well, you got a choice. I see this all the time on social media. Well, you got a choice. You can either do what I say, or you can do nothing, but you still have a choice. Like, coercion is not choice. You can either do what I say, or you'll do nothing. You'll have no work, no travel, no education. You'll be locked at home, but it's your choice. We heard that from Biden, and it's being repeated by these little neo-Stasis here in America. In Italy, workers without a vaccine passport will not be paid. You won't lose your job, they just won't pay you. Where have you heard this before? In the Soviet Union, they would say, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. So here we are. It's authoritarian communism. The unvaccinated workers will have their pay withheld, but they will not be suspended or fired. Presumably, what they're still holding out hope for the people in Italy, is that this is going to be some temporary thing. This is not going to be temporary. We will take this back, or they will make it permanent. They've locked in everything that they have put on us, and they continue to add more and more requirements. They're not taking anything away. They'll give us a little bit of breathing room. They will pop the pressure cooker lid a little bit to let some of the steam off and let some of the pressure off, but then they'll close it up again and start boiling the pot. They said an estimated 23 million Italian public and private sector workers will present the coronavirus passport known as the Green Pass in order to be able to work. If you don't have that Green Pass, you'll be suspended or fired. On Wednesday, they announced that while those who do not comply with the mandate will not be able to come to work, they will only be considered to have an unjustified absence and have their pay withheld. That's simply another lie to try to tell people, you know, oh, it's okay, well, we're not really firing. How many different ways can they fire people? They say companies with fewer than 15 employees can suspend staff without the Green Pass for up to 10 days, and the suspension is renewable during the enforcement period, according to the newspaper La Repubblica. The government has also stated that it will not pay for coronavirus tests. See, this is the other thing they're doing in France. First they said, well, you know, you can have a vaccine or you can have a test. Well, I think we're going to have to do the tests on a more and more frequent basis. You know, we'll do it once a month, we'll do it once a week, we'll do it once a day. And then they say, oh, and now we're not going to pay for it either. And they're pretty expensive, while they're charging people for them. in Italy, it's going to be $17 for adults for each of these tests. You know, it's kind of like, you get your little ticket there. And this came from Italy. This is from a soldier who is stationed there, American soldier. He said, as I was falling asleep last night and praying, I began praying for myself. I'm in the Navy with over 22 years of service, but I may be dishonorably discharged in the near future because I refuse to be vaxxed. There's much uncertainty in my world right now. But then I began praying for America for deliverance from the evil ones who are destroying her. And I have to tell you, I am far more concerned for her than I am for myself. If I am court-martialed, I will not despair. But if my country fails, I'm not sure. My heart can take it. These are the people like that that Biden wants out of the military. The people who put their country before themselves. The people with sincerely held religious beliefs. You got to get them out. And he wants them out. He wants them terminated with prejudice. He wants them to have a dishonorable discharge. He wants them court-martialed. And we have the proof. We have Mark Green of Tennessee. And you can find this on Information Liberation. Mark Green of Tennessee, a Republican, proposed an amendment to be added to the National Defense Authorization Act, the infamous NDAA. But in this is a good amendment. What it said, it would prohibit any discharge but honorable for troops who refuse the vaccines. In other words, if they refuse the vaccine and you're going to push them out with this experimental vaccine, and folks, it is experimental. Well, they can play all the semantics that they want. But their own rules have a time period by which they need to validate the experimental vaccine. First of all, even under the experimental use authorization that has to have a certain efficacy, it's failed. So it doesn't even qualify to be experimental under their rules. Secondly, to have something to be FDA approved that has a process that has to go through a couple of years of an epidemiological study. They burned that to the ground because after they ran it for a couple of months, they said, well, you know, this is so serious, we're just going to give the vaccine to the control group too. So they destroyed their control group. This thing is a total fraud. And if you look at the, and I don't have it punched up here, but I had the graphic yesterday. If you graph out the number of adverse effects over the last 30 years, it is a flat line that until you get to this year, it spikes straight up. Unbelievable how many people have reported problems with this. And so Mark Green put it into the NDAA. It was a bipartisan amendment. Every Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee agreed to it as well. So they have a House Armed Services Committee. He puts in an amendment saying, all right, if you're going to force this on the military, on soldiers and sailors, you are going to, and airmen, whatever, everybody, if you're going to force this on the military, and they have to make that decision, if you're going to kick them out, you give them an honorable discharge. Because that's a big deal. A dishonorable discharge is going to be a black mark on them in everything that they do. It's not just taking away people's benefits, but it's going to be something that's going to be hard for them to find a job. But, of course, there aren't going to be any jobs if you're not vaccinated. And the system that we currently have, this corrupt system that needs to be swept away, needs to be replaced. We have an economic system and a political system right now that is attacking and destroying our rights and liberties, and we have to alter and abolish this system. And or. Anyway, so everybody, Democrats and Republicans, agree to this on the House Armed Services Committee, but the Biden administration, the White House, responded with a statement saying the administration strongly opposes this. They said it would detract from readiness. It would limit a commander's options. So Biden specifically wants people in the military not only be purged out like a banana republic, all the people who are not going to be completely loyal to his politics. He wants them purged out, but he also wants to punish them. He wants dishonorable discharges. He wants court martials. And he's not going to, even though the Democrats in the House committee were not for that. He is for it. Meanwhile, we have federal workers who are suing Biden over the vaccine mandate. And these are all federal workers, civilian workers, as well as military joining in this suit, contractors included. So this is a suit, as one of the lawyers argues in the lawsuit. They claim Christians are required, quote, to refuse a medical intervention, including vaccination, if his or her informed conscience comes to this sure judgment. They said, this is from the RNC, Joe Biden told Americans when he was elected that he would not impose vaccine mandates. He lied. Now small businesses, workers, and families across the country will pay the price. Again, you understand, and we understand it's a mandate, and people understand that it's coming from him. But technically, what they're doing is they're running it through the corporations, and that was always what was wargamed. I told you that not just in December. I told you that when this began. They already had the New England Journal of Medicine talking about how we don't want to do this with an outright mandate. We want to run it through the corporations. Now, for the people that are underneath him, he's doing it as a mandate. People who are federal employees, who are military, he's doing it as a mandate, and he's doing it to punish them. Let's take a look at the nursing situation. Canadian Nurses Union warns the COVID jab mandates will lead to unmanageable staffing shortages, both in terms of the quantity of people, but they said that it is also an unequal distribution. So you're going to have more people in rural areas who do not want to inject the precious. The British Columbia Nurses Union said in response to the government's announcement on September the 13th, remember, there's September the 13th again. Wow. Its plans to extend the mandatory vaccination order to all healthcare workers. Yesterday, British Columbia Nurses Union expressed its support for vaccination while raising concerns that the consequences of this order would contribute to a severe nurse shortage in this province. They wrote in their press release that the percentage of those who are not jabbed is not distributed evenly across the province. They then said that the government has not provided transparency regarding operational and contingency planning to support this new public health order. Without these plans in place, there is potential for a significant number of healthcare workers to be removed from an already depleted workforce. Taking nurses away from bedside will have serious impact on patient care. The current vice president of the BCNU said that around 20% of workers are choosing not to get jabs. It's now widely known that people who have taken the experimental jabs can still contract and spread the disease, writes LifeSite News. So what is this about? There's no medical reason for this. You're just as likely, perhaps more, to spread the disease if you're jabbed. It doesn't reduce hospitalization. It doesn't reduce transmission. It doesn't stop infection. It is political. In North Carolina, so that's in British Columbia, Canada. In North Carolina, the hospital system there has suspended hundreds of employees because of the vaccine mandate. This is coming from Novant Health, based in North Carolina, but it operates in other states. Beginning this week, they said approximately 375 team members across 15 hospitals, 800 clinics, and hundreds of outpatient facilities have been confirmed to be non-compliant and are not able to report to work. So they're going to start firing them. In a similar move, 125 workers with Indiana University Health, the biggest hospital system in the state, parted ways with the company, according to news release issued last week. Those workers, it said, did not comply with the firm's vaccine mandate. On Twitter, and I retweeted this, Libertarian is the Twitter handle. Person said, I'm an RN. Religious exemption denied today. Last day at my health care system, September 30th. I will not prostitute the nursing profession by going along with this nonsense. Good for her. Her name is Kat. So how are they going to handle this? Right? They're creating another crisis. They're creating food crises. They're creating health care crisis. They're creating an energy crisis. Everywhere you look, our governments are doing things that they know are going to be burning down the system. In New York, the new female governor who has replaced Cuomo, Kathy Hochul, has essentially said that we're going to replace nurses with foreigners. In her statement, she said, to those who won't get the vaccine, we will be replacing people. I have a plan for doing that, which I'll be announcing very shortly. We've identified a whole range of opportunities. And so in that announcement, after she said, we got a plan to do that shortly, I've identified a whole bunch of opportunities, she goes on to say, we're also reaching out to the Department of State to find out about visas for foreign workers on a limited basis to bring more nurses over here. They're already offering to pay big bucks to people who want to escape Australia. Let me tell you, it's not going to be much better in New York for long. Yeah, Australia is ground zero of where things are really bad. But they will put anybody in there. Again, going back to what happened in Tennessee with Executive Order 83, it was not about prison camps yet. You know, the CDC has a plan for that. They're green zones. They've already laid that out. They laid that out early last year. But Executive Order 83 was about, they knew this was coming. Republican governors also knew this was coming. And Republican governors determined that they weren't going to stand there and oppose the vaccine mandates. Governors like Bill Lee in Tennessee. Governors like Brian, the one in Georgia. What is his name? I can't remember. Is it Kemp? Anyway, we've had a lot of different camps. But the Georgia governor, the Tennessee governor, said we're not going to stand in the way of the vaccine mandates. Instead, what we're going to do is put out some orders where we can bring in National Guard to stand there and pretend that they're nurses. That's their way to approach it. In New York, we'll just bring somebody in from another country. Yeah, maybe they can go down and grab some Haitians and put a white coat on them and just, put them in place. Israel is now saying that the booster doses are only valid for 6 months. There you go. See, when the Babylon Bee came out and said that Pfizer had announced a new monthly subscription service called Pfizer Plus, in other words, making fun of Disney Plus, for X number of bucks, you can sign up to get your monthly shot from Pfizer, and you'll also get some cool Pfizer merchandise. There it is. Good job. Yeah, the monthly booster subscription program. And it's good for all kinds of Pfizer merch. So there you can go. The New York BLM leader promises national uprising over racist vaccine mandates. See, you never know who's going to be your ally and co-belligerent. Who would have thought it? We could even have some racist Marxists joining us in this fight. Shavonna Newsom, an organizer with Black Lives Matter of Greater New York, led a protest Monday at Carmine's Italian restaurant in New York City after a hostess denied entry to three black women last week from Texas as tourists who did not provide proof of vaccination. And then the three women that they were not allowing into the restaurant allegedly attacked the hostess and were arrested on charges of assault and criminal mischief. So then Black Lives Matter shows up to protest. They said 72% of black people in this city, ages 18 to 44, are unvaccinated. So what's going to stop the New York Police Department from rounding up black people and snatching them off the train, off the bus? We're putting the city on notice that your mandate will not be another racist social distance practice. There's no racism in this. The fact that the black people are wise enough and suspicious enough and skeptical enough because they've been experimented on over and over again. That's really what we're talking about here. So good for them. They're more awake about that than we are. But they have been singled out in the past for experimentation, no doubt about that. But when you have this Project Veritas latest thing that dropped, they had an undercover reporter talk to an economist at the FDA who is going on and on. One of the things he talks about is black people. He said, while blacks can point to a history of medical experimentation being performed on them against their will, this guy, whose name is Taylor Lee said, I can't blame them for that, for their hesitancy to get vaccinated. But at the same time, just use a blow dart and vaccinate them. That's where we're going. It's not going to be something so obvious. But he also references the yellow star. He says, I think there needs to be a registry of people who aren't vaccinated. That's what the vaccine passports are doing. Although that's sounding very much like Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany, I mean, think about it, like the Jewish star. Remember how many people, remember Marjorie Taylor Greene said that? And she got hammered by the press. Then she did contrition. She went to the Holocaust Museum. They still hated her. And that's an appropriate analogy. It's an analogy that Jewish people I've talked to have made. They know exactly where this is headed. People who lived under that system, people who lived under the Soviet Union system of totalitarian government, they know what this looks like. And no, they're not polar opposites of each other. Sorry about that, neo-Nazis. The Nazis are not polar opposites of Stalin. They just got to their totalitarian government using different lies. That's the difference. One of them used the lie of hypernationalism. The other one used the lie of hyper-internationalism, globalism, and some other things. But anyway, as this guy was going on and on, he said things, yeah, the census goes door-to-door, so we can get a registry of people, and then we can just force them, you know? I'm going to go door-to-door and stab everyone with this vaccine. Hey, it's your booster shot. There you go. Now, this is a lower-level official that they had, and this is, and he's going on and on about this stuff. But look, folks, we've seen plenty of people just like him on social media, but also on mainstream media. How many times have we seen mainstream media go out there and say this type of stuff? And it's even worse when you got somebody like the former CEO of Planned Parenthood, Leanna Wen, in cold blood talking about this type of thing and putting it in very precise language. Now, she's not going out there and fantasizing about hitting people with darts. She's got some other ways to do this. And by the way, folks, when they vaccinate you against your will, they're going to be doing things like I talked about yesterday. They've already been wargaming this. They've already been working on the technology of how they can take their weaponized, chimeric pathogens and how they can inject them into your skin using nanoparticles. They've talked about how they could do this. They've wargamed how they could do this without your knowledge for quite some time. This is nothing new. They've even talked about putting it in, you know, food. That just article just came out recently. They've been looking at a wide range of delivery systems for vaccines. And many of them are stealth. And when you look at the situation of EcoHealth and Peter Daszak, think about the name, EcoHealth. This is a guy who is far more concerned about the environment than he is about humans and human health. He's far more concerned about preserving the animals from humans. He takes, in EcoHealth, Peter Daszak takes the radical environmentalist approach. And we've seen over and over again over the last several decades, we've seen radical environmentalists who are professors at universities who are talking about how they want to kill the human race. You've seen people like Prince Charles, and actually, I think it was the one who just died, the old man, Queen Elizabeth's husband, who was saying he'd like to come back as a virus so he could kill people. These people, as part of their Gaia theory, they see human beings as a virus, and we need to be minimized or eliminated. This is the basis behind what all these depopulation billionaires like Bill Gates and the rest of them are about. I've said before, when I took my family to Europe, to London, we were in the Children's Museum because the boys were young, and we took them up to the top floor where they could play. There was a playground up there, and they had a constant loop of, it was about a 10-minute movie, and it was pushing the Gaia theory, the idea that the Earth is this sentient being. And you hear this echoed all the time by these lunatic Hollywood people like Jennifer Lawrence, but they're serious about that. The whole Gaia theory, Mother Earth. And in that, they say, you know, this the Earth is a living organism You have all the flora and fauna. They make up a collective organism, and we are the virus. We are a threat to Earth. We are a threat to all the vegetation and all the animals. And as a virus, we have to be eliminated or at least minimized. That's the basic fundamental principle. So when you look at something like EcoHealth, and look at these people who are looking everywhere to try to identify pathogens that they can then weaponize. And that's what this is all about. And how they can put vaccines out there. And they say, well, we're going to create the vaccines in order to stop the pathogens. No, the vaccines are the delivery mechanism for the pathogens. And they're looking at ways that they can do it by stealth. Domestic flight vaccine mandate is not off the table, says Roll Call. Such a requirement has led aviation-related stakeholders to complain that logistical hurdles would be challenging at best and a nightmare at worst. Do you understand? We don't have representatives anymore. We don't have a republic. We don't have a democratically elected republic. We don't respect you, the citizens. It's not we, the people. It's those stakeholders over there. The stakeholders will be telling us what to do. The owners of everything. You're just a slave. You're just a serf. You don't own anything. We have stakeholders that we're going to talk to. This is this government, corporate, fascist system, the merger of these two. Every time you see somebody using this term stakeholder, that's what they're, well, we got together with our stakeholders and we said, you know, what is it that you can do to these peons, to these slaves of ours? They said, well, we got to think about who would check for proof of vaccination. What safeguards would be in place to ensure that the documents weren't fraudulent? Would the paper cards currently given to vaccinated people be sufficient? What sort of central records would we have to create to help the airlines track if people are vaccinated? How would airlines handle children who are not eligible for such a vaccine? And would such a requirement extend to other sorts of travel, such as buses, trains, cars? And let me tell you, they have already war-gamed this out. They war-gamed this out early last year. Same system, you know, the red, yellow, green system. But it was the people at Davos who developed the system. I've shown the flow charts a year and a half ago of how they wanted to run this out. A central database. They said you have trusted people within the system. They reported up through the system. But it's a global database that all the airlines can access. They talked about doing that for international. They said you can't have different standards and different databases in different countries. We've got to make this international, so we have to have a global repository that tells us who's been vaccinated. And we just happen to be the people to do it here at Davos, the World Economic Forum. And so they had the software was available a year and a half ago. They're just talking about it now in Roll Call because they're trying to prepare people for this. They've already got it. They've already got the technology, the plan. They've been working to do this for a long time. Cato Institute, supposedly a libertarian institute, said this. It should have been obvious a long time ago that it was going to be necessary to have a more reliable mechanism for authenticating immunization status than a flimsy handwritten cardboard card. If only because other countries were likely to require it for travel, whatever we did in the United States, said a senior fellow at the Libertarian Cato Institute, Julian Sanchez. See, the Libertarian Institute, the Cato Institute, the Libertarian Cato Institute, the Conservative Heritage Foundation, these big think tanks, conservative and libertarian, have not supported your freedom going all the way back to free speech. They want the corporations to rule you. The Cato Institute, the Heritage Foundation. They say the corporation should decide what you say in the public square on the internet, the digital public square. And so now you have the Libertarian Cato Institute instead of saying, wait a minute, we don't want to have vaccine passports. We don't want to have national IDs. This is Big Brother. This is against our individual liberty. Where's our informed consent? No, they're not saying any of that. Instead, they're saying, well, it should have been obvious from the very beginning that we don't want to have some flimsy handwritten thing that can be easily copied and forged. No, we have to have some kind of electronic system here. They don't object to it at all. They're not libertarian. They are pragmatic statists. authoritarian statists. He said such a process couldn't have been done without requiring any kind of master federal database of who's been vaccinated. I don't see anything here where he says we shouldn't do it. He's just talking about how it's a difficult situation. In this LifeSite News article, they do have quotes from some senators who push back against this idea. You have Republican of Mississippi, Senator Roger Wicker, says, "I don't think the American people will stand for it." You have Ted Cruz, who says, "I do not believe there should be any COVID mandates. That means no vaccine mandates. That means no mask mandates. That means no vaccine passports." And by the way, folks, you know, I've got my differences with Ted Cruz. I've got a lot of differences with Black Lives Matter. But look, we take these battles one at a time. And, you know, you are going to find some co-belligerents that you got a lot of differences with, but we're going to fight right now. We need to get everybody on board to fight these vaccine mandates, these passports, travel passes. They want to make this, they want to shut down all travel everywhere. And that's why they're coming for the cars as well. That's right now the only escape valve we have. Thomas Massie introduced, and this is a congressman from Kentucky, Thomas Massie, introduced an amendment to the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee's budget resolution to bar funds from being used to impose or to support vaccine requirements as a condition for traveling on public or private transportation. But the committee did not approve that. They want money that is in this massive infrastructure bill to be used to control your movements. I mean, they're going through, they're tearing down highways. They're using a lot of this money to tear down highways. And say, well, you know, it's bypassing a black community. So we'd rather we would have all the traffic go through the black community or whatever, historical black community. Well, I don't think that necessarily that any community wants to have a lot of traffic running through there. A lot of communities like the fact that they're being bypassed with these interstates. And certainly the drivers like that instead of getting caught up in traffic. But they're deconstructing roads, and they're also deconstructing roads in other ways in terms of restricting the roads, making them narrower, putting bike lanes in them. That's called road diets. They're also putting in road calming measures, which is putting in speed bumps so people can't actually drive through it. Massie said that Fauci's comments spurred him to introduce the amendment to say, we're not going to use this money to stop people from being able to travel on public or private transportation, which then the Democrats shut down. He said, I think it's absolutely wrong. It's a bad idea. It will hurt the economy. But then you have Donald Beyer, who has been demanding this. This Democrat from Virginia has been pushing the idea that people who are not vaccinated are these diseased, filthy, untouchable individuals, and they're like terrorists. He goes, they're like they've got like a weapon with them, you know, this virus. And so you have to shut them down. And the TSA ought to be vetting these people just like it wouldn't let somebody in with a gun or a knife, except they do all the time, by the way. They're so incompetent. But just like you wouldn't let somebody in with a gun or a knife, you can't let somebody in to fly that is not vaccinated, because that means that they're sick if they're not vaccinated. He compares it to secondhand smoke. He says, you got a right to smoke. You got a right to kill yourself, but you don't have a right to blow secondhand smoke in somebody else's airspace. This, by the way, and I've talked about this before, a lot of people in my family had asthma, respiratory illness. My father struggled with it all of his life. It always bothers me when I'm around somebody who's smoking. I can't breathe at all. I don't have asthma, but boy, it really bothers me. But I really disagreed and spoke out against these bans on people smoking in different places. I think there's other ways to handle this. And I knew exactly where this is going to be headed, where we are today. Apple is going to be embracing the vaccine passport. So they're right there with a, you know, you've got World Economic Forum, Davos has their app. Apple's ready to tap into that. They're going to put vaccine passports will be right there in your Apple wallet. Let me tell you, Tim Cook and Apple have been fighting with Microsoft to be the tip of the spear in tyranny, technological tyranny. So they're going to implement and embrace these vaccine passports as part of the Apple wallet. part of the future coming soon iOS update. The vaccine cards of the future will use the International Smart Health Cards standard, which is already being used in several vaccine certification systems. See, they've already got a standard, they're already implementing it, and they can rely on these technological companies to be their the handmaids of tyranny. Yeah, we have shortages everywhere, even with school bus drivers. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the supply chain issues that are happening to us. The supply chain is actually becoming one of the major chains of slavery. We'll talk a little bit about toxic medication, the digital cash that's coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that with Gerald Celente when he joins us in the next hour. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
All right, we're coming on
the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and joining us now, a little bit earlier, I thought it was going to be the third hour, but it's great to have Gerald Celente on because it has been a long time since we've had Gerald Celente. TrendsResearch.com is where you can find a copy of the Trends Journal. Excellent publication. He has been on top of things, and one of the reasons that Gerald hasn't been with us is because, the primary reason is because of scheduling conflicts. He's been going all over the place. At events, you've been there with Ron Paul and many other speaking events and protests that are going on in various places. It's great to have you back. Thank you, Gerald, for coming back. And tell us a little bit about some of the things that have been happening the last couple of months, places where you've been speaking, events where you've been a speaker.
Well, the biggest one, the most important one to me, is I was one of the speakers at Ron Paul's War on Us event in D.C., in the beginning of the month. And among the speakers was Judge Napolitano and RFK Jr. Mm. And by the way, if you go to my YouTube, Gerald Celente, C-E-L-E-N-T-E, the YouTube, the judge and I did a podcast on Wednesday. And it was really great because we were talking about how our freedom has been stolen from us. And these mandates that Biden has put upon us are totally against the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Napolitano, of course, is a real expert in that field. And also, going back to the Ron Paul event, which I'm totally honored that he had me as one of his speakers, because you know, our personalities are totally different, you know.
Oh yeah, but both of you have been in the trenches for freedom for a long time. It's a good match. It's a good match. He was good. It was good for him to have you as well, I'm sure.
And when RFK Jr. finished his talk, now remember, this is a guy whose father was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
His uncle JFK was assassinated. This is a real man, you know. This isn't a guy that has to be doing this stuff.
That's right. And it's not worked out for his advantage either. Boy, I tell you, they've been throwing everything but bullets at him. It has essentially destroyed his life. Every time I see mainstream media talking about RFK, they just rip him up one side down the other for standing against these dangerous vaccines and telling the truth.
Yeah.
Very courageous.
And his site, people should go to it and do what they can to support it, the Defender.
Yeah.
And anyway, when he's walking off the stage, you know, he was very emotional, and he said, we're talking about freedom and how we lost it. He said, I will fight to my death with my boots on.
Yeah, good for him. It's rare to find anybody with that kind of integrity anymore, isn't it?
Yep. And at my talk, you know, I had the people laughing and crying, because I was crying because, you know, my work is to be a visionary, and I see the future.
Yes.
And they've turned hell on earth on us.
Yes.
And, you know, I used to go to all these jazz things. I'm moving out of Kingston, by the way. I'm only going to stay here a couple of months a year because the New York attitude is so terrible.
I saw that when I was there, yeah.
And I used to go to all the jazz things around here, at Bearsville Theater, you know, the jazz brunches, and all these different places, the Senate Garage. I can't go to any place now. Because I don't have a vaccine passport.
Wow. Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, when I was there in the spring, speaking at the event that you had there, I saw everybody was walking around with masks and everything. I said, this place is going to go down quickly. But the problem is, Gerald, is that this is a plan that is being pushed everywhere in every country. The difference that we're seeing from state to state, or the difference that we're seeing from country to country, is only the speed at which it's moving until the people push back. And so we're getting people that are pushing back, but they're not budging.
Enough.
The governments are not budging, and there's not enough people. Yeah, you see it going up in Australia and Switzerland and everything, but it's still a small minority, and these people, you know, they're coming in with the jackbooted thugs and giving them the back of the truncheon whenever they speak up.
When I my talk at again, you know, my talk at Ron Paul's was, we must unite. United we stand, divided we fall.
Yes.
And you know that I'm doing everything I can, you know, at the rallies that I put on, as well as you're doing. We have to come under one umbrella. And I was a speaker also at, they had a rally in New York City at Columbus Circle. And only about 3,000 people turned out. And we're talking of a city of, what, 8.3 million?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a rally, I'll never forget it. It was on back in 1982. Almost a million people turned out in Central Park to protest the escalation of the nuclear arms race.
Mm-hmm.
And Caspar Weinberger, who was the defense secretary at the time, a little crappy piece of junk,
yep,
the murderer involved with the Iran-Contra scandal, but he gets a slap on the wrist. Oh, you're excused. Yeah, that Caspar Weinberg. He's mm-hmm. quoted and saying, yeah, that was very impressive. A lot of people turned out to the rally, but it really doesn't make any difference. We just go on and do what we want.
That's right. That's right.
Those are words to his effect. You could Google it up. So what I'm saying is, David, the only way we could win this, as I see it, is to do what they did when they brought down the Berlin Wall. The people came and they didn't leave. More people came and they didn't leave. More people came and they didn't leave. More people came and they didn't leave. Day after day, night after night. You don't go out and do a protest, yell and scream and go home.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't worth anything. Ask Caspar Weinberger. A million people turned out. It meant nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yep.
And
right.
If we don't fight, we're finished. We're finished. Again, go to the, if you like, go to the interview yesterday on Wednesday that Napolitano and I did. We're going to do another one next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. this guy's, you know, he's a pro in the field when it comes to the Constitution. It's totally unconstitutional what they're doing to us.
Yes.
Totally.
That's right. That's right.
And people are bending over and taking it all over the world. But it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. And we are that irate, tireless minority.
That's right.
I'm going to fight to my death. And I'm a fighter. Could you imagine that little de Blasio? Oh, what is he about? A foot and a half taller than me? I'd screw that little bastard up if he tried to attack me. If he came to me and tried to put a vaccination or a mask in, if he came to me and tried to do it, boom, I'd knock that little piece of Warren Wilhelm Jr. That's his real name. That little scumbag changed his name to de Blasio to get the Italian-American vote in New York. Warren Wilhelm Jr., you little piece of crap. How about that Andy Cuomo? I was the first calling that scumbag out. Yeah. The people better fight.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Of course, we got our Beto here. You know, we got
Robert
Francis O'Rourke, who calls himself Beto.
Beto, yeah. Another little phony little shit.
Well, you know.
And by the way, when you call people, I said, F you, I had enough of your crap. That is not profanity. That is proper language in that situation. I'll tell you what profanity is. Calling these little lowlives officials and dignitaries. Dignitary? Yeah, you're just a piece of garbage. They're dignitaries.
You know, we had a clip I played earlier this week in Australia. And it was, I think, the first day that the construction workers are doing this. And they're doing what you're talking about, Gerald. They're going to be there every single day. And now, yep, to further incentivize that, the government, in retaliation, shut down all construction sites, yep, for 2 weeks. So you're guaranteed that these people are going to be out there. They're being joined, yep, by nurses and teachers and others. But in one of these videos, you had one of the protesters engaged a couple of police officers, and one of them dialogued with him for quite some time. And he said, yeah, I understand what you guys are doing. And I sympathize with it. My wife's been fired and so forth, but I've got a job I've got to do, and there's nothing else I can do besides this. And the guy says, what are you talking about? There's nothing else you can do besides this. I have absolutely no respect for you. And I just kind of jokingly said, hey, if these guys are just going to be hired mercenaries, maybe we could take the muscle and we could pay the muscle more than the politicians do to arrest the politicians. But that's really where the issue is. The construction workers, many of them, I had some people leaving comments when I put the videos up about what had happened. They said, yeah, these construction workers were out there. They were putting the QR codes on every building so that people had to check in with them. They were building the prison camps. And now when they came for their jobs, now they realize that this is what we always do, Pastor Martin Niemöller. You know, when they came for this group, I didn't do anything. They came for that group, I didn't. Then they came for me, there's nobody left. We got to not be in that situation. That cop needs to understand that, just like the construction workers now need to understand it. And I'm afraid that it's rolling out too slowly. You and I have been screaming about this for over 600 days. Even before it happened, we were screaming about it. We knew where this was going.
Yep. No. If we don't unite like this, it's done. It's finished.
Yeah.
And again, look at the little low lives. You're talking about New South Wales and the Melbourne and Victoria.
Gladys.
Little Danny Andrews. Look at that little clown of a nothing boy. Little Danny Andrews and that Gladys been jerking off whatever her name is. Look at these little stupid people that are giving the orders. Like that arrogant little de Blasio. A guy that's been sucking off the public tit his entire life. Never worked a day in his life. Never. And they're telling us what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the lowlifes. Look, did you see that thing that came out from Oregon where they're telling people now you could go have young people now you could go have dating and you could have sex?
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a cartoon.
I know.
It was like a cartoon.
We got to have their permission to kiss somebody, right?
And did you see the pictures of the people there? It's a cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oregon, Health officials? Official piece of garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're willing
to... No, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to read something to you. This is from the Trends Journal, September 29th, 2020, almost a year ago. The election's going on almost a year ago. Americans get cold feet over COVID-19 vaccine. Americans seem to have reservations about being first in line for any approved vaccination for COVID-19, according to a recent Axios Ipsos poll. The poll showed that only 13% of Americans would be willing to take the vaccine upon rollout. You ready? Joe Biden and his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, have raised suspicions about the reliability of any vaccine rolled out before the election. President Trump and his campaign see an effective vaccine as a major boost to his reelection prospects. In May, President Trump announced Operation Warp Speed, which he compared to the U.S. race for the atom bomb. The Associated Press reported, once there is a viable vaccine, Trump said he would employ, you ready, every plane, truck, and soldier to distribute doses. News website Stat reported that many Democrats have indicated a swift vaccine approval would be politically motivated by the White House. Harris said she would not trust the vaccine under Trump. Biden agreed with his running mate.
Yeah, and here we are a year later, and what are they doing?
And they're promoting it.
Yeah.
And all the dumbocrats support it. The Axios Ipsos poll showed there's been a rise in suspicions about taking a vaccine. And then we went on to say, remember, we're political atheists. We look at things the way they are.
Yeah.
This is a year ago, trend forecast. As we had noted from nation's capitals across the globe to Wall Street, the word is that until a COVID vaccine is made available to the public, there will be no strong economic rebound. Therefore, the faster the vaccine hits Main Street, we forecast resistance to get vaccinated will decrease as the major media and politicians promote getting vaccinated as the only way to win the COVID war, with virtually no mention of building up one's immune system and getting healthy. Governments will impose educational and other restrictions on all those who refuse to get vaccinated.
Oh, yeah.
We said this would happen a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And as I mentioned, no mention about building up one's immune system. The God now is science. God isn't nature. Nature is not God. Science is God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a religion, too. I talk about it. I've got Gollum, from Lord of the Rings, where he talks about the precious. I said, this is an obsession, these people. No matter what happens, you got to get the precious. You got to get it injected. It is a cult. And as you're pointing out, all these Democrats were against it, but as soon as Biden got in there, oh, well, it's great, and now it's the Democrats and the Democrat mob that wants everybody else to take it. But we still have people, interestingly enough, like Mark Levin, people like Nolte at Breitbart, and they are big Trump vaccine cheerleaders because Trump developed it. There's not too many of them who will do that. Most of the people will say, well, the vaccine is really evil now in the conservative right, but they won't connect it with Trump. But you've got people like Levin and Nolte who will. Nolte even calls it the people who are hesitant. He calls them anti-Trump vaccine people, ATVs, he calls them. I call it the Trump shot. And people get upset with me. Don't criticize President Trump. He's not president anymore. He wouldn't have mandated this. You and I both know he would have. You and I both know he would have pushed it through the corporations, right?
Yeah, he pushed it through. Here, when was the day that he called the national emergency?
That's right. It was Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, March.
Yep. That's right.
2020. Oh, and Trump, all the Trump supporters are going after me now because I'm saying what a fraud he was. He ran, and again, The Trends Journal in May of 2016 was the first magazine when Trump was down in the polls to say Trump would win the election. And we were right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I like Trump, hate Trump. I say things for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Trump ran the campaign on three issues. Number one, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall.
Well, he did. It's just got a 2,000-mile door in it, right?
Yeah. Number two, I'm going to rebuild the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, tax changes. Number three is all he did. He gave the tax breaks. According to the Tax Policy Center, 82% of them went to the 1%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like the bailout for the small businesses. It's like the bailout for the small businesses, the PPP, right? More than 50% went to fewer than 5% of the people. And I always say, don't PPP down my back and tell me it's raining, from Outlaw Josie Wells. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. And so Trump lied his way into office.
Mm-hmm.
He kept bragging that he was building the wall. And they say, the Democrats didn't stop him. They didn't stop him from slaughtering that guy in Iran, did they? No, they didn't stop him from destroying Venezuela, did they?
No.
And so it's a lot of baloney. And the other thing, too, I get criticized. Trump is nothing more than a daddy's boy, born on third base and thought he had a home run.
He did.
His old man left over almost $500 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
$500 million. You could look it up.
Yep.
And Trump lost a load of it. And he's going down big because the hospitality sector is finished for a long time. You know what the office occupancy rate in New York City is?
What's that?
22%.
Wow.
22%.
Wow.
Trump Tower, I got a buddy of mine trying to sell a building in Trump Tower, apartment. Can't do it.
Wow.
Nobody wants it.
Well, he basically sowed the seeds of his own destruction in many ways, in terms of standing up for a free speech, right? They kicked him out even while he was president. He could have done so much stuff. Yeah, he could, exactly. He could have, he didn't even need to use the office of president to defend free speech. He could have moved from Twitter to Gab. He could have done anything like that. He could have used his bully pulpit. When you're talking about the border, Gerald, I was never a big fan of thinking that we're going to stop people with a wall. He said he was going to end the wars. I said, bring the people home from the wars and put them on the border just with some concertina wire as a deterrent. That would be all that you need. If you put a wall there and nobody's there, they're going to go over it. They're going to go under it.
David, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Because, I launched Occupy Peace. And Occupy Peace is no foreign entanglements. Bring home the troops from the 800 bases in around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do we have? The number two, when you bring home the troops, put them to work to rebuild our rotted infrastructure like the world.
That's right.
The WPA.
Mm-hmm.
And bring them home to secure the homeland. Exactly what you're saying.
It's a no-brainer. Look at how quickly they were able, after they abandoned Bagram, which is a brain-dead thing to do, but after they just said, we're going to do it Kabul, they put up temporary barriers very quickly there. And, at the border, we don't have any suicide bombers that have to worry about there. But they put up borders there. You've got Greece putting up borders immediately because of what happened in Afghanistan to control migration. Same thing happened in Hungary. They put up borders. It's not a complicated thing to protect the border. The world's biggest military. They can't figure out how to protect our border. Of course they can. They just don't want to.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about the world's biggest military. They just passed the defense budget. How much? $778 billion.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, you did a great job in Afghanistan, huh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, they're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. Hey, they're our general. Yeah. Mad Dog Mattis. Yeah. Arrogant little boy. Mad Mind Mattis. Yeah. You guys haven't won a war since the World War II. Oh, by the way. You'll hate me for saying this to everybody that can't think for themselves. You wouldn't have won it without the Russians.
Yeah.
No, you haven't won a war since World War II.
Right.
And you're giving me this crap Oh, how about how the people are buying the baloney? Oh, we're selling those nuclear submarines to Australia to help us fight China. You couldn't beat the Iraqis. You couldn't beat the Taliban. You're going to beat China?
Oh, yeah. It's
all it is to enrich the military-industrial complex. Nothing more, nothing less.
The problem is the military-industrial complex is turning inward now, as Madison and others always warned us it would. You know, the instruments of defense abroad have become the weapons of tyranny at home. That is what they're focusing on. As they keep saying, we're not concerned about the terrorists that, you know, we created the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was really to come after the patriots. And now we
that's
see
right.
that 20 years later. Yeah, that's what this is all about. And now they're dropping the pretense. This has been a long-term plan. I mean, you're talking about how we're going to be locked down for the vaccine. That's what they've been practicing on since Dark Winter in 2001, 2 months before 9/11. This has always been the plan. What we saw happen this last year, Gerald, is just the second shoe to drop after 9/11. They've just been practicing this because this is the bigger one. This is for all of the marbles, and this is being done worldwide. You know, we talk about the shot heard around the world at Concord and Lexington, right? That was a shot of liberty. But this has been the shot. What Trump developed was a shot that was distributed around the world. You know, these big pharmaceutical jabs. And we have been the epicenter of this tyranny that's being pushed out everywhere. The surveillance technology, the military technology, the police state. When you look at these cops, whether it's Switzerland that I showed today or Australia, these cops, where did this stuff start? This started in America, predominantly in L.A. The SWAT teams, you had Daryl Gates there. We perfected that, and we are exporting that to everyone, just like we're exporting our vaccines.
It's terrible. Again, that's why I was crying before. I agree with you 100%. I see where it's going.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, by God, with the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence. Pursuit of happiness? Who the hell are you to be happy? Liberty? Screw you! I'm your governor, I'm your mayor, I'm your president, I'll tell you what to do. These cats, happiness is a dirty word. And imagine a key word of the Declaration of Independence, gone, taken away from us, from little low-life boys and girls that could never fight. They couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag.
And
they're telling us what to do.
And where we are right now, Gerald, is in the second half of that opening paragraph. When governments become destructive of these rights, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or to abolish that government. And that's where we are right now. And if anybody has any question about where we are right now, just look at the fact that no matter what happens, these people double down, it is happening in every country, whether it's Australia, Switzerland, whether it's Canada, the U.S. Look at what is happening to our supply lines everywhere. Now you've got Costco warning that, you know, the toilet paper shortages and shortages on all kinds of essential household items are coming back. We got semiconductor shortages that aren't getting any better. They're getting worse that have been affecting the automobile industry. We got food prices that are skyrocketing everywhere. And you even have, the infrastructure of energy because of these energy mandates that they put on us. And you know as well as I do that this climate change stuff, sustainable energy, the UN 2030 agenda for sustainability, the smart cities, all of that was designed to do what we're doing right now in the name of the pandemic, but they're now bringing back in the climate change stuff as well. So these people are actively trying to destroy our society in every way. They're trying to create a Hunger Games scenario with us.
Yeah, again, as we kept saying, there's going to be two focuses. COVID war and climate change. That's the two they do. When the COVID war starts dying down, they go to climate change.
That's right.
And going to what you said about the supply chain and Costco and toilet paper, think about it. The first thing that people did when the COVID war began to show you what kind of crap heads they are, they went out and bought toilet paper. I mean, really, we're even talking about shortages of toilet paper.
Well, it was an excrement hits the fan scenario.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to clean it off the fan.
If you made a movie, you say, okay, we're going to make this movie up. We're going to scare the hell out of everybody. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to run out and buy toilet paper.
That's right.
I mean, you guys, Gerald, come on. That's stupid. How can you make a movie like that?
Well, toilet paper is the essence of our civilization, isn't it?
You got it. And the other thing, David, you mentioned all the supply chains and all the things and the prices going up. You're 100% wrong, because Jerome Powell said back in February, the Fed chair, that the inflation was only temporary. So it's not here now.
It's just transitory.
No, temporary's it temporary lasts forever.
Yeah. It's transinflation. One of the things that I'm concerned about, I want to get your comment on this. You've covered this as well. Digital cash, the next step, because it has the central bank cash, has all of the evil that we have with a fiat currency. But they add to that, because it's coming from the central bank, they add to that the ability to not only track everything that we do, every economic action that we do, but also to restrict everything that we do. I mean, we've already got MasterCard working with the United Nations to say, we're going to look at your purchases and we're going to assign a carbon expense to that. So you go out and you buy a steak, that's going to have a certain impact that they imagine on the environment. So they give you a certain number of carbon credits. And then they're going to limit your ability to buy things based on your carbon footprint, right? So you're going to have like a credit allowance of a certain amount of things that they're going to arbitrarily apply there. But the digital cash will apply in the sense of where you can buy stuff, what you can buy, when you can buy. It will have, as we've already seen with the Chinese digital cash, it'll have an expiration date on it. And now we've seen this introduced in a very sneaky way into a congressional bill. Talk about this and what's going on with Bitcoin, because they're also making some moves to try to regulatorily have some government attacks on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency.
Well, you know, you're saying I've been traveling. One of the other things I went to Max Kaiser's Bitcoin event in Phoenix recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying the same thing from the beginning. We nailed every price breakout of Bitcoin virtually. And I kept saying over and over, cryptocurrencies are going to keep going up until governments bring them down.
Mm-hmm.
It's end of story. And the reason is they're not going to want competition, because they're all going digital. And for all the reasons you said, they'll know every penny you spent, where you spent it, how you spent it, what you spent it on, where you spent it, what you could do with it. And you mentioned China, and China's the first one going digital and doing a lot of it and doing one test after another with it. One of our covers of the magazine back last year was "The Chinese Way You Must Obey." We became the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when the COVID war broke out. Lunar New Year, Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat, 2020.
It is the year of the rat. We got rats everywhere.
Year of the rat.
You know, I was kicked off. The last time I was kicked off of YouTube, one of the videos that they kicked me off for was I said, the year we became China. they gave me a strike for that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Googled it.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So our cover, January 28th, a week later, was coronavirus, 106 dead in China. And the next line was 1.4 billion still alive. What the hell are you telling me 106 people died in this place where 1.5 million die a year from air pollution is why they wear those masks?
Yeah.
But what did they do it for? They couldn't stop the Hong Kong protests.
Yes.
I used to be on Hong Kong TV throughout 2019. And, you know, like we'd be doing interviews, you know, how we off the air, we start talking. I say to reporters, what's going on? You guys going to, Mr. Salenti, we're going to fight. We're not going to stop. Then we're not going to let the Chinese take over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, I told you that about 3,000 people turned out for the protests, the mandates, the de Blasio mandates in New York City when I spoke at Columbus Circle. Hong Kong has 7.5 million people. A million were taking to the streets. A million.
Yeah.
When the virus broke out in Wuhan in China, they locked it down, and they locked down Hong Kong. And that was the end of it. All finished.
Yes.
Now, what's happened? We've become the Chinese. We're wearing the masks. We follow the dictates of our leader that tells us to get vaccinated. They're in total charge of us. Freedom doesn't count. What do they say? I'm not making this crap up. You can have your freedom if you get vaccinated. One country after another, you're hearing those words. I'm not making it up.
Oh, that's right.
You can get freedom with vaccinations. We become the Chinese. You look at the top trends of 2021 that we did. China, 2021. The 21st century was the American century. The 21st century is China's. China's taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Look what they've done. Oh, you're talking about the shortages? You can't get chips and this and that? How come? Oh, they're all made in China, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And other Asian countries. They sold us out. They sold us out. They took all our manufacturing away and gave it to them so they could make it cheaper, make more money, and bring it back here and let us pay more for it. And very important, in the whole line of things, merger and acquisition activities are at an all-time high. Getting the money for nothing. When I was a young guy and you were a young guy, there used to be a thing called grocery stores, drug stores, stationery stores, hardware stores. No more. Now there are grocery chains, hardware chains.
That's right.
Right?
And there are chains
drug
of slavery.
Chains.
Yeah. Chains of slavery because they've eliminated the middle class businesses everywhere. And this was...
And the middle class businesses... And when you were a young guy or woman working in this, you say, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to open up my own.
That's right.
I'm going to learn from this.
That's right.
So now going back to why you see help wanted signs all over the place. When people got locked down and staying at home and they didn't go back to work, they're saying, my job really stinks. I'm making what, $11, $12, $13, $14, $15 an hour. What the hell am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
I go into a Hannaford's or a Lowe's, and my heart breaks when I see the people working there. My heart breaks because I know they have no future. In the old days, you could work your way up to the top, too. Gone.
That's right.
Finished. So this worker shortage of slave landing is going to continue.
And it's the
and
mask.
That's all it is.
It's the mask as well. Not only do they not have any future there, but as many people pointed out with these award ceremonies and the Met Gala and all this other stuff, you see everybody else walking around. It is really like Hunger Games. The servants have to wear the masks. And that's the other thing that breaks my heart when I go places. I see all the employees masked up, and it's like, man, I just want to take that off of you. I mean, it's such a symbol, it's such oppression. It's physical oppression, strangling, smothering people, and putting them in submission as if they were some Muslim female or something. It disgusts me.
No. I wouldn't say that. I would say that there's some Chinese
exactly.
citizen.
Yeah, that's right. We have the social credits.
Do we become the Chinese?
Yeah, social credits, and they're extending it. Now you got the UN working with MasterCard to come up with their own social credit system. It's going to be based on your carbon footprint, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just amazing.
So we become the Chinese way.
Mm-hmm.
You must obey.
That's right.
And again, going back to what's going on, the people are there's no fight. If you look at the cover of our Trends Journal a couple of weeks ago, last week, actually, not this week, last week, we had a big whale and two whale people watching the whale. And we said, who's watching who? I was coming back from Ron Paul's event. My buddy and I stopped at Cape May, New Jersey. That's one of the richest, vacation spots on the Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
You go over the bridge when you go into Cape May, there's a sign that says whale watching. You didn't have to take the boat to go whale watching. All you had to do is walk on the boardwalk and up and down the streets and look at the people like this and like this. The whales were everywhere. I'm serious. I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I was heartbroken. I'm staying at a hotel that was quite expensive. The swimming pool was filled with whales. And go back to the facts. 78% of the people in America that have been hospitalized for COVID are either obese or overweight, according to the CDC. Go back to our parents and our grandparents' generation as Americans and look at the dignity of the people. Go back to the Great Depression. The greatest, hottest music America ever knew, Swing Time, to lift the spirits of the people.
Yeah.
Look how they're dressed, black and white.
That's right.
And the blacks led the charge. The white cats wanted to look like the black cats because they were so cool. The great jazz that they gave us, from Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Count and Duke. And now it's, yeah. And we got to look up to this.
You know,
look how low we've gone.
You know, when you're talking about that, Karen and I will go to YouTube sometimes and we'll look at old film footage from the 1890s even, or, you know, in Paris or London or in New York, the early 20th century. And we'll look at these different decades and look at how people dress. And it's amazing to see how things have really just declined, in the sense that, you know, people walking around in New York or these other cosmopolitan areas, they are dressed in tuxedos and top hats, like you would see somebody going to a black tie dinner, just walking down the street. They had, and even as you're talking about the music in the middle of the Depression, when people had no money, you look at the Carter family, country and Western music. The guy would wear suits even at a time when they're dirt poor coming out of Appalachia.
Yes.
He would wear suits when he would get up in front. Nobody has any respect anymore. Part of this is another aspect of becoming an authoritarian country, losing your self-respect.
It's gone.
Yeah, you used to have a situation where we all used to laugh about the Chinese communists. They had nothing and they were dressing in pajamas, right? And now that's what we're doing. You got even people dressing in pajamas to fly before they shut everything down. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me to watch that. But it says something about what you think about yourself in terms of a lack of respect and aspirations, I think.
Exactly. And again, the God now is science. The God isn't nature.
Yeah,
and I keep saying, to fight the war and to stay healthy, you have to get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Never a mention of that. You got to only get a vaccination. Look at the ads that they run on TV, the drug ads. Oh, this will make you feel great. Oh, yeah, then it'll screw you up 85 different ways. There's no allotropic drug on the market that cures a chronic degenerative disease. And by the way, the first book I worked on was called Natural Healing. It was a Warner book back in 1986. I worked on it. Mm. And I have an honorary doctorate from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done in complementary and integrative medicine. So I'm not just talking empty words here. Right. And you're not allowed to talk about natural healing anymore. It's forbidden.
Oh, yeah.
Only vaccinations count.
That's right.
Only prescriptions. Here, America and the world, America, I'll just speak for, is run by four groups. The banksters, drug dealers that morons and imbeciles call Big Pharma, the military-industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, and two-term president warned us about, and Big Tech. Again, mm-hmm. Big Tech running. Could you imagine getting in a fight with Zuckerberg or Cook or that other guy? What's his name, that guy at Google? I always forget it. Starts with a P.
Sundar Pichai.
Pichai.
Yeah.
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 Can you imagine going...
Pikachu.
Yeah, Pichai, yeah. Yeah. And could you imagine them telling you, David, you will do this and you will obey what I tell you to do, and them coming at you to tell you to do it? How long would the fight last?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you're talking about the poor state of our health here. I'm sure you saw this pathetic display coming out of New Zealand, where they arrested some people and they said they had Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they took all the buckets and they put it. Arranged them on the hood of the car so that you could see the words police and then all of the Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I said, well, you know, they're doing this saying they got to lock everybody down for this so-called pandemic. But I said, probably the most dangerous thing, more dangerous than any virus they could imagine and pretend to be suffering from, was the fast food. That was really the, you know, if truth be told, that would be what they'd be shutting down. But they're going to tell us, you know, what we can and cannot eat. That is on the, and they're going to do, they're going to shut it down in the name of health. Back in the 1990s, I was joking with our friends, but we knew it was coming. So the day is coming when they're going to send in government officials to look at your cupboard and see if you got too much sugar or this or that. They're going to get on to that, and they're going to say, well, we're going to tell you now how you eat in a healthy manner, and we're going to dictate that you got to eat Bill Gates' bugs, because that's really what where this is headed.
You know, this will get me banned as well and well-hated. If you go back from the beginning of time, what were there, what they used to call it, the guys would go out, the hunters and gatherers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the women would take care of the children, and the men would go out and do the man's work. You look at my generation, I'm first of the baby boomers. Look at the pictures of Woodstock, 1969. Everybody's thin. The mm-hmm. picture's there. Everybody could look at them.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a kid. My mother, may she rest in peace, would they call her now a homemaker. Most women were at home taking care of the family. Then they started pushing the thing about women going out into the workforce. One of the reasons why was because unions were very strong and people were getting high middle-class earning wages. The more people you had working, the less you had to pay, supply and demand. So women started going out to the workforce. Fine. Going out to the workforce, now you're pregnant, you have a child. What do you do when you have the child? Oh, you're not raising the child anymore. You're sending him to him and her, the baby, the infant, to a daycare center.
Yep.
Now you have a stranger raising your child and feeding the child.
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeding the child anymore. Then you come home from work. What time do you get home from work? Well, let's say average 6:30 at night. You got to now prepare the meals for the family. Oh, you mean you weren't cooking all day to make that happen? No, I'm going to give them frozen food, prepared food. I'll open up a can of food, and I'll feed them crap.
That's right.
You look at the facts. My generation, obesity rate was around 3.6%, and now it's 42%.
Mm-hmm.
The homemakers are at home. They're in the workforce, and they're feeding the people crap. Frozen food, prepared food, processed food, highly processed food. And you have strangers feeding your infant, raising your infant, teaching your infant. Can't wonder why your mind is so screwed up. If my mother wasn't at home, I would have been dead at least three times. When one time I cracked my head open a couple of times. Bicycling, getting different things happening, where they're rushing me to the hospital, and the laundry man taking us, because he used to get the laundry, the wet laundry. We didn't have washers and dryers. They get a laundry man would bring back the wet laundry. There were five kids, and my mother would hang it out in the clothesline. The laundry man came, was there. My brothers and my buddy. They carried me home. My head was split open. I going up the hill on my English racer, slipped on a sand and cracked my skull open. Mm-hmm. And the laundry man took me to the hospital. I would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. My mother was home. Now mothers aren't home anymore.
Yeah.
Can't understand why the society is breaking down so much. It has nothing to do with being sexist, so save it. Men are men and women are women. So shove your transgender up your new go what, because that's where it goes. So don't tell me what to say, believe, or do. Think for yourself. That's the way I think. You think the way you want to think. Don't tell me how to think.
Well, it's actually the destruction of the family, if you stop and think about it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is. It's a larger thing. I mean, the family was a unit, and they have to get rid of the family. This goes all the way back to Plato's Republic, where they didn't want you to even know who your mother and father were. That, you know, Plato's wargaming this and saying, you know, we'll have three tiers of society. You know, we'll have the rulers, we'll have the enforcers, and we'll have everybody else. We want to make sure that you see the state as your mother and father. And so what they've done is they've rolled this out through the government education institutions, starting them at an earlier and earlier age, adding the German kindergarten, then taking it down to preschool and so forth. But having the mothers work, so as you point out, they're raised by the state. And it's not just the obesity that is happening, that we can see that physically, but we can also see what has happened mentally and spiritually to the kids who have been raised by these government institutions we call schools.
Yep.
You
and
see
again,
the products,
it was the Weimar Republic, as you pointed out, that started it when they began the Industrial Revolution. People were making their own things and selling their own things. No, no, you're not going to sell or make anything. You're going to work for us. And going back to, I mentioned about merger and acquisition activity, the bigs are going to get bigger. All we are going to be working for the chains. We're on the chain gang. That's all it is. We're the workers of Slavelandia. The billionaires got $8 trillion richer in 2020. Median household income declined at the fastest rate since they've been doing the numbers in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what you see coming. Let's begin with housing, because you've talked a lot about housing. You talk a lot about commercial real estate, how this has really killed commercial real estate. Let's talk a little bit about residential housing, because, you know, we've seen some amazing increases in house prices. And now that seems to be cooling off now. And we're at a time of the year when usually these markets crash in September and October, whether it's the stock market or other markets. What do you see happening in housing, for example, Gerald?
I see housing prices still going up, and as long as interest rates stay low. Simple as that. When interest rates go up, the whole thing crashes. Everything crashes. Go back to when Trump was president. What was he bitching and moaning about in 2018 as the markets were going down? Lower interest rates, put all the pressure on Powell. So as long as the cheap money game keeps going on, the scam will keep going on. Commercial real estate is going to be a disaster. I don't care what they say. If you have 25% of the people not coming back, that's a big hit.
That's right.
Because they're going to be working from home. If I had a big office and I was employing, you know, a couple of hundred people and had six floors of a building, a commercial building, and now I got people working at home, and I'm saying, man, I'm saving a lot of money. I could get rid of, you know, four floors over here. Let them work at home. Yeah, maybe I'll lose some efficiency, but I'm saving a lot of dough on the other end. You're going to see more and more of that. So I think commercial real, again, nationally, the office occupancy rate is only about 34%. Nationally. So I think that you're still going to see a rise in residential. But the big one is, and again, we'd forecast this, keep writing about it in the Trends Journal, and you get the magazine, you see what it is. The bigs are getting into apartment rentals. Blackstone, all the others, buying up all the housing like they did when the bust happened in 2008. All the subprime mortgages, they bought up all these houses, and now they rent them out because people can't afford to buy them. Again, we're workers in Slavelandia. So the bigs are getting into apartment rentals. If you want to get into a good business, buy something and rent an apartment, rent it out as apartments, because that's what you're going to see more and more of, apartment rentals and less people buying homes. Only the upper middle class is only going to be able to afford them.
And that's always been the plan with their smart cities, you know, to concentrate people in the cities and to make sure that you rent and that the thing gets smaller and smaller and smaller into these micro apartments. Let's talk a little bit about, as you mentioned, BlackRock and these other companies going into the residential market, buying it up, homes and other things. Now that they finally pull back this CDC power grab of saying that you're not going to have any evictions or foreclosures, and we say so, and that happened with Trump in the fall, got extended a couple of times, got extended a couple of times with Biden. They go to the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh says, you don't have any authority to do that. And so he, but nevertheless, he lets them do it, says, well, they're gonna stop it at the end of the month. They didn't stop it at the end of the month, but they approved that 5-4. Then another month goes by, and then he switches, and John Roberts switches. But now you've got a full year for some of these people, nearly, of kind of a balloon debt that they don't have any way to pay. What are you seeing right now with that? I haven't really seen any reports. Nobody's doing any reports about it, but I think it's happening that they're going to take this. They're taking this property from a lot of people who've been who are very or way behind in their mortgage payments.
Yeah, it's going to. I'm telling you, the bigs are just going to keep getting bigger, and people as smalls are going to go out of business. Look, with this eviction notice, how many people I know, you know, small landlords that aren't collecting rent, that can't pay their taxes, can't pay their bills. This is it goes back to what you were saying. And I was saying it's the Chinese way. We become a communist state. Yeah. But it's not only communist, it's fascist. Because it's the merger of state and corporate powers, as Mussolini called it.
Yep, that's right.
So it's a communist fascist country. This is, you know, I got to tell you, I'm glad I'm an old guy. I couldn't imagine raising a young kid in this world. I wouldn't want to be here. I tell my buddy, I said, you know, I don't want to come back to Earth like this. I don't want to live in an Earth like this. I don't want to come back to an Earth like this.
I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I think, you know, when we look at this push right now, Gerald, in terms of pushing out, whether it's 10, 20%, 30% of the people in various industries, many of them vital industries, that they're now pushing people out because they won't get the vaccine. I doubt they're going to make an exception because somebody's going to be working remotely. I think this is a prepared plan. As we had Bloomberg talking about it when he was running for president. He said, everybody jumped in on it and said, oh, he's trashing the farmers. He was talking about the agrarian society being replaced by the industrialized society. He says, now we're going to replace both these stupid farmers and these stupid factory workers. We're going to replace you guys. The smart people like me are figuring out how we're going to get rid of all of these jobs. And we just got to figure out a way to keep you from coming after us with guillotines. That was his words, right? And so I think the way they do that is by blaming it on the virus. And I think that's a big part of why these mandates are rolling out, why there's a political reason and a legal reason of why they're doing it through the corporations. But the corporations, talking about these big Wall Street corporations, big box retailers and so forth, chains, they want this to happen because this gives them an excuse to replace people with robots. And to do the universal basic income, which is what all the Silicon Valley people were jumping behind Andrew Yang, pushing universal basic income. What do you see? Now, we know that's the plan. Do you have what would you suggest to everybody in order to try to navigate through what they have planned for so that we don't fall into that? Other than just getting together as a group and resisting it as individuals, what would you suggest people do?
Well, again, just to stay on that point, in this week's Trends Journal, we did a whole article on it about going robotic and going cashless. Mm-hmm. You go now, you go to places, you know, they don't, there's no cashiers.
Yep.
None. One person standing behind the desk, behind the counter, you know, just to help you if something goes wrong, but you got, you know, six machines over there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going robotics and everything they can do. So what can we do? Again, we have to unite. And as I see it, it's only under one umbrella. One of the things, as you know, I'm trying to do is to form a church, which I've done, the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice, to bring everyone whose God they believes in freedom, peace, and justice under one umbrella. Because of all these little protests going on, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We have to come under one umbrella and fight them. United we stand, divided we fall. I didn't make that line up.
Well, I think it is going to have a religious component to it. And of course, as they're pushing people with sincerely held religious beliefs out of all these different institutions, whether it's the police, the military, medical, anybody who has any sincerely held religious beliefs, who has ethics, who has morality, they're purging them out of their society. I think we're going to wind up having to make for our own survival. We're going to have a parallel society that is going to be, at the beginning, it's going to be crude. It's going to be kind of Amish-like in a sense. But we better start figuring out, the tools of how we're going to raise our own food, how we're going to identify different skills that we can have. We better start getting some real skills because for far too long, all of us have been involved in things that are pushing paper and bits around, I think.
Yeah, but that's part of it. But, you know, there's a lot of people who'll never be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to take over. And what you said about the Declaration of Independence, when the government, how'd you say, when the government doesn't serve the people, it's the right of the people to...
Yeah, when it destroys our rights, when it destroys those rights, then we have to alter or abolish that government. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. They got it. They missed two words, public servant.
Mm-hmm.
We are in charge, and that's what we have to do. And again, with the church, we're also going to be issuing mandates, you know, a certificate where you could get a religious exemption for vaccination. So the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice will be offering those as well.
You know, it's amazing to me to see, and I've seen some really well-written letters. I've had people send them to me from pastors, from people who are in the military. I think the guy might have been a chaplain. Very well-written, structured letters. And yet, these things are just being thrown out. And as people are willing to throw away a career, I mean, a lot of these people are at 19 years out of 20 years that I've had writing me of being in the military. You know, that's the magic number where you can retire. You get vested. You get all these benefits and so forth. But now Biden is pushing really hard against a bipartisan commission saying we don't want to give these people a dishonorable discharge. He says, no, we want them court-martialed. We want them to have a dishonorable discharge. We want to punish them and run them into the ground. But these are people who have sincerely held religious beliefs that they will throw this career and this, you know, 1 year left to retirement, they'll throw that away. That's how sincere they are. And these people throw them out, they see that happening, and they still won't recognize this their sincerity. So we know where these people are headed. And I think the key thing is that we got to find some way that we connect with each other. On a person-to-person basis. I think it's kind of interesting. I said earlier today in Switzerland, as they were kicking people out of the restaurants and everything, I showed a clip of people eating in the street, and they had families doing picnics in the streets, and they had people who were talking face-to-face about, hey, do you believe what is happening to us right now? I mean, I think that's a positive sign, and it was massive. Everybody was in the street as protest and having connections with other human beings.
Exactly. And again, as I said, we have to unite under one umbrella is the way I see it. David, I have to run.
Yes, it's been great. I know we've gone on a long time. It's been a long time since we talked. I really appreciate you staying on this long.
Yeah, no, I love being on with you, and I'm honored to be on with you. And I thank you for all that you're doing, and I'm looking forward to being on again soon.
Well, thank you for coming on for so long. It's been so long that we just had a lot to catch up with. Thank you, Gerald Celente. And folks, take a look at trendsresearch.com. You can get a sample of the Trends Journal. It's great. It comes out on a weekly basis. It is an electronic magazine, and it is set up like a magazine. You can search the articles as well, but it's a great format, has great artwork. On a regular basis, but he's always on top of the stuff, and it is extensive on a weekly basis. Trends Journal, you'll find it at Trends Research. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for all that you do. And we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, folks, to finish out the show. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the heart of rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, let's talk real quickly about the supply chains of slavery that they're building for us as they are shutting everything down. As I mentioned with Gerald, we have Costco warning customers over delays on essential household items, all types of things, toilet paper, many other issues that have been a persistent problem since this all began. Once you throw a monkey wrench arbitrarily into the machinery that was created by the free market, by people acting independently, guided by the invisible hand, and yes, that is a real thing, in the sense that people are just like iPencil. I won't go into all the details of it, but that's basically the way that it works. You don't have any central planners that can do this. Even if they were the smartest people on earth, they don't have sufficient information to do this. So these central planners, no matter how smart they are or how smart they think they are, they're not capable of doing this. They don't have enough information. Instead, what we have with the marketplace, if you want to think about it from an analogy of a computer, it's like a neural network instead of a CPU. It's going to work better. It's going to work faster. It's going to have more information. It will adapt if companies are allowed to succeed, if they're allowed to fail. And, of course, the government has stepped in on both sides of that. If you're big enough, you're not allowed to fail. If you're small enough, you're not allowed to succeed. And if you're not essential, as they said during the Trump administration, they will pull you out of the equation, and then this will have reverberations that are continuing to happen. Semiconductor shortage that has hobbled manufacturing worldwide is getting worse. It's not getting any better. And so you have the automobile lines being shut down. This is one of the reasons why we're seeing soaring prices in used cars, as well as now even junk cars. Of course, the problem is going to be, if you've got a junk car, if you've got a car that's been flooded and you need to replace the engine, are you going to be able to get the engine to replace it? That's the other side of this. Meat prices to remain elevated amid depleted reserves. Because that is something that is happening not just because they've messed up the supply chains, not just because they've shut down outlets where people will be able to buy these things, but because they're deliberately targeting beef, pork, chicken for extinction. They don't want you eating meat. They want you buying your laboratory created garbage from Bill Gates. He wants to outlaw his competition and force everybody to buy his stuff. And that's what's really ultimately behind all of this so-called green stuff. I have a listener who is in Sweden, and he says, wrote this to me. He says, enjoy your show here in Sweden. He said, they sent me an article saying Sweden's oil power plants, oil power plant, I guess singular now, starts up due to record high electricity prices. He says, I work in battery research over here. Sweden is probably the most critical of any country when it comes to fossil fuels and has gone all in on quote-unquote sustainable energy sources. It's not even winter yet, but they are now firing up this oil power plant that they hold in reserve for winter because they know that it's reliable. They don't know about their sustainable, renewable resources. The only thing renewable about them is the graft, the corruption, and the tyranny and the control. He says, Greta Thunberg is worshipped here. Yes, I know. She's worshipped over here, too, I'm afraid, by many people. But in this article, they say, the record high electricity prices has caused Sweden's oil power plant to start up. They said it's been running over the last 2 weeks, even though there is no electricity shortage. They can have electricity shortage during cold weather, middle of the winter. But this is now in response to enormously high prices. Again, this is about the renewable energy. They're having problems with wind power generation in the UK in particular, and that is having repercussions across all of Europe. So they're running this one power plant, evidently, the last of the oil power plants they have. They have an agreement with a Swedish system operator during the winter months from mid-November to mid-March to be ready to operate if there's need for more electricity. Usually this is only during the coldest days. But it has been the case more frequently in recent years due to the closures of nuclear power plants as well. So, you know, we're just going to go to solar power to run our system during the winter. Or maybe we will use windmills that freeze or whatever. Yeah, they can spend the extra money and make it not freeze. But the reality is that, and we heard that during the Texas debacle. Well, if they would have spent more money, they just didn't expect it to freeze, so they didn't pay the extra money to keep the turbines from freezing up during the winter, so they froze up. Well, what's the problem then in the UK where the wind power cannot deliver enough electricity reliably in the middle of summer? They've always got an excuse, don't they? What they're doing is they're destroying what works. And again, think about the fact that at the same time our governments are dismantling the inputs into the electrical grid. They're talking about putting unprecedented loads on the electrical grid with electric cars by banning the oil-burning, gasoline and petroleum-burning automobiles. They are demanding that they're going to have 100% renewables in Sweden by 2040. They'll do it sooner. They'll do it by 2030. They said even though the prices are still high, however, it's now been taken out of service for a regular four-week-long review. Again, same types of things that we're seeing here in Texas, because this is a global agenda to destroy our power supply, to destroy our food supply, to destroy our supply of household goods, to destroy our labor supply. These people are pulling the world apart. They're destroying everything. And they're going to build it back with a sustainable tyranny. That's the purpose of all of this. In the UK, they've now struck a deal with the company that has been producing carbon dioxide. And I just want you to think about the irony of this. How much stuff has been shut down in the UK? They were saying, we're not going to have any turkeys for the holidays or anything like that. Because, as it points out in this article, they have a table here, CO2 chaos. Everything from chicken to soda makers rely on supplies of the gas. They're out of gas. Imagine that. Literally out of gas. You know, we talk about gasoline. They call it petrol, but, you know, they're out of gas. CO2 is used to stun chickens and pigs at slaughter, and that affects 80% of the poultry. It's also used to everything from bagged lettuce to fish fillets and cheddar cheese in order to package them and keep them fresh. It's used for dry ice. It's used for soft drinks, all these different things I pointed out the other day. CO2 was the thing that all of these radical environmentalists have been focused on to eliminate. We've got to eliminate all CO2. It's going to cause global warming. No, CO2 is a good thing. CO2 is used by plants, and then the plants take that in and give us oxygen. That's the way that God designed it. It is a symbiotic system, but these people, again, every system, they are intent on destroying it. It's not stupid. They're not being stupid. They know precisely what they're doing. This is just like the schools. So many times, and for the longest time, I've heard parents say, well, you know, these schools, why can't Johnny read? Well, because they don't want Johnny to read. They don't want Johnny to think. They don't want Johnny to know anything or be able to think critically. The schools are doing precisely what the schools were designed to do, and that is to deliberately dumb down America, as Charlotte Isherby pointed out in her book in the 1980s, when she was there at the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education. That agenda is coming from the top down. And it is an agenda to make sure that you don't know anything and can't learn and can't think. And so the schools are doing precisely what they were designed to do. And all of these measures that seem to be failing, unbelievably stupid measures that they're doing, they're all deliberate. That is, they're doing precisely what they wanted to do. And then, again, I want to go a little bit deeper into this and give you the name of what this is. This bill that is being snuck in on July the 28th, 2021, a new bill was introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives. A bill sponsored by Congressman Don Baer aims to regulate cryptocurrencies, but it does more. By the way, this guy's name keeps turning up. You're probably going to see this guy go from congressman to senator in no time. He'll be running for president as well. This Don Baer guy. This Democrat is the one who is saying that anybody who's not vaccinated needs to be stopped from traveling. And now he wants to have a digital currency, and he wants to get rid of private cryptocurrencies as well. This guy is a dyed-in-the-wool tyrant, Don Baer. The future of money is here. Will the Federal Reserve be authorized to use a distributed ledger technology? for the creation, distribution, and recording of all transactions of a digital dollar. Well, that is really what is in view here. The bill is called the Digital Asset Market Structure and Investor Protection Act, the Digital Asset Bill. Hidden in this bill are changes to the foundation of the dollar. Included in the Digital Asset Bill are amendments to the Federal Reserve Act. Federal Reserve Act, that infamous thing that was passed Christmas time when everybody had gone home and they had engineered some crises before that. And with most of the people gone, they put in that Federal Reserve Act just before Christmas. The definition of legal tender, a change in that, is proposed. These amendments would drastically expand the powers of the Federal Reserve and change how money is created and distributed in the United States. You know, when they were spending trillions of dollars, absolutely unprecedented under Trump, with this lockdown and the financial incentivization of all the lockdowns. That was the key betrayal of Trump, in my opinion. It's not even that the fact that the declaration of a national emergency, the executive order declaring a national emergency, that unleashed and was a trigger for a lot of these powers that they told the states to give themselves in the wake of their false flag around the anthrax attack, the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act. But it was also the financial incentivization for the tyranny, rewarding these governors, giving them billions of dollars, many times the state's budget, to use in a discretionary way. That kind of corruption coming out of the Trump administration to governors, Democrat and Republican. And as part of that, incentivizing that, and the massive trillions of dollars that they went into debt, you had people talking to Powell and saying, well, you know, you're going to print more dollars. He goes, let's be clear, we don't print dollars. You know, they couldn't print that much money. As I pointed out, if you were to take dollar bills and you were to stack them, just that first $3.5 trillion bill they did, that would go from the earth to the moon if you were to have a stack. It's that distance. It would be a stack as high as the distance between the earth and the moon. And now they're completed the round trip, and they're on their way back for another trip here. So he says, no, we don't print the money. We just issue people credits. And so in a sense, they have the digital asset. But what is really insidious about this are new powers that are in this and the ability of them to be able to track and to restrict everything that you do. There is no point of them tracking everything that you do unless their intention is to restrict what you do. That's why we talk about gun registration. If you're going to register and track the guns and the ammunition and so forth, that's because you're intending to take that away. If you're going to register every single dollar bill and identify that and track that everywhere to the individual, that's because you're planning on taking away that purchasing power. The Federal Reserve does not directly create digital money, but of course it doesn't directly create physical money either in this scheme. And the little bit of time that we have left, I want to talk about, this was sent to me by a listener, Ken, who sent this. He said, this article appeared on KSL.com this week, and this is out of Salt Lake City. And listen to this propaganda. As he points out, it is shameless, sick, disgusting propaganda. It is an op-ed piece, and it is part of, as the editor of this paper says, or at KSLM.com, this is the second in a series of stories that will look at the frontline fatigue among healthcare workers in Utah. And so they have a guy who has, who is at the center of this story, saying that he feels heavy in the soul. Heavy in the soul. I bet he does. Because he is giving people treatments that are killing them. And he's withholding cheap treatments that would help them. And he's doing this because he's part of this medical establishment that's become predatory and corrupt. The medical team in respirator hoods and full protective gear hold up a phone with the patient's family on FaceTime. The doctor has to tell the family on the phone line that because they had a family party without following public health guidelines, their loved one will not be coming home and will likely die in the next few minutes. The family spends the final few minutes with their loved one looking at them on the phone because you're not allowed to get with the patients anymore. Not allowed to see how the hospitals are killing them. with medical kidnapping. The patient dies. The family is overwhelmed with grief. This is supposedly, you know, again, this is a scenario that they're putting out over and over again by the mainstream media. He and his colleagues at the University of Utah Health say they've had this experience so many times. He's had to have tell patients' families that their actions affect they killed their family members. What shameless lies and propaganda this is. I mean, I could go on, but you've heard all this stuff. It's just disgusting. All this comes on top of the work-related stress that these people have. What we did, we had to do. We had no choice. And then the vaccine was so much more effective than anyone had hoped for, with greater than 90% efficacy. This is pure bull. Pure bull. That you could not come up with anything that is a more pervasive in its lies. And, of course, we've heard all these lies. Yeah. Finally says, what we don't see in the ICU is people dying from the vaccine. No, you see that. But you will not speak of that evil. You don't want anybody else to see that evil. You don't want anybody to hear of that evil. On the other hand, I got this from Joel Hirschborn, saying, are most physicians ready to revolt against this medical tyranny and take back medical freedom? See, a big part of this is the propaganda. The disinformation, the one narrative that is out there. I just have to say, if you've got the solution, doctor, this doctor in Utah who says he feels heavy in the soul, you're betraying and killing people for money. I bet that's why you're feeling heavy in the soul. But if you've got the solution, why is it that vaccinated people are dying? Why is it that vaccinated people are spreading the disease? Why is it that your social distancing and your masks haven't done anything, but you continue to put those on people even when they're vaccinated? The lies are obvious, and so is what is happening within the medical community. As Dr. Joel Hirschborn, again, he wrote the book Pandemic Blunder. I've had him on several times. He said a new movement has been launched by physicians, including Dr. Robert Malone, to fight medical tyranny. He said, the truth is, better than blaming the virus, they should blame the hospitals and the vast majority of physicians for the deaths that have happened. He said, because the medical establishment has never had the courage to stand up to the medical tyranny engineered by Fauci, implemented by the CDC and the FDA. And then he says, the obvious question, if any of this stuff was true that came out of the Salt Lake City paper, if any of that were true, why are so many nurses and physicians refusing to be vaccinated, writes Joel Hirschborn? Because they've seen on a daily basis large numbers of patients suffering and dying, not from the virus, but from the vaccines. Now one of the most respected physicians and medical researchers, Dr. Robert Malone, has spearheaded a movement to combat medical tyranny by organizing physicians from all over the world and creating a physician's declaration. Here are some of the key elements from this historic action. And I'll read just a little bit of this to you. He says, this is from the physician's declaration by Dr. Robert Malone. There is an unprecedented assault on our ability to care for our patients. Public policy, think Fauci, has chosen to ignore fundamental concepts of science, health, and wellness, instead embracing a one-size-fits-all treatment strategy, vaccines, that results in too much illness and death when the individualized, personalized approach to health care is safe and equally or more effective. People are dying from vaccines, not from generics like ivermectin. And I've said this before. With all of the lies and the mockery by the FDA and these other people of ivermectin as horse medicine, if you'd had people dying from this, it would be front page news everywhere. It would be all over the Drudge Report. It hasn't been there, so you can bet that they're not dying from it. And if they're getting sick, it's because people are having to turn to medicine that is not for human consumption, because they have withheld that. It makes me so angry to see the kind of lies and propaganda. It doesn't even hold up under basic critical thinking. If what this doctor was telling you is the truth, then why are so many people and doctors and nurses, why are they throwing away their career rather than participating in this? Some of it is because of religious beliefs, but other people understand. If this was effective, and if they hadn't seen these vaccine effects, right? He's telling you it's 100%, and that ridiculous piece of propaganda from KSR.com. Oh, they're 100% safe, and they're 90% effective. Come on. That wasn't believable when they told that to us a year ago. And we know for a fact now that is not true. But if that were the case, don't you think that these people who have been on the front line, they would be knocking down the door? They would have all been vaccinated a long time ago. They would be demanding that they get this. Instead, you got vaccinations that are not being used. People that have seen what has happened with all of this do not want this thing at all. So he goes on to say, this is Dr. Robert Malone, thousands of physicians are being denied the right by the corporations they work for to provide treatment to their patients, such as ivermectin, as a result of barriers put up by pharmacies, hospitals, public health agencies, rendering the vast majority of health care providers helpless to protect their patients in the face of disease. Physicians are now advising their patients to simply go home and return when their disease worsens, resulting in hundreds of thousands of unnecessary patient deaths due to the failure to treat, because the only treatment is a vaccine. And vaccines are not a treatment. Even if they worked, it wouldn't be a treatment. It is a preventative, if it works. Physicians must defend their right to prescribe treatment, to observe the tenet, first, do no harm. Physicians shall not be restricted from prescribing safe and effective treatments other than vaccines. These restrictions continue to cause unnecessary sickness and death. The rights of patients, after being fully informed about the risks and benefits of each option, especially vaccines that for most people pose more risks than benefits, must be restored to receive those treatments, such as ivermectin. And Joel Hirschborn points out, he said, that last point is where you, the reader, must join in this revolt and demand from your physicians and your hospitals your right to get access to generic medicines such as ivermectin. Print the declaration, give it to your doctor, and if you're sent to a hospital, bring a copy with you. If this declaration simply remains words but not profound changes in the practice of medicine in this pandemic, then all hope for saving lives is lost. But what happens when the physician becomes the patient? This is a cautionary tale from childrenshealthdefense.org, and I would say to the doctors and the nurses and the corporate bean counters who are consciously destroying our health care system, who are consciously withholding safe and effective medication and pushing dangerous medication on people, I would say to them that each and every one of you at some point is going to be a patient. And you're going to get what you have created. You're going to get it good and hard. It will come around. You have sown these seeds, and you will reap the whirlwind. This is a physician who was recently retired. She was not a part of pushing this out. But she was horribly injured from the Pfizer vaccine. She's now pleading with top U.S. public officials for help. And she can't get any. Denise Hertz, a 64-year-old physician, horribly ill, incapacitated after getting the Pfizer vaccine, says U.S. health agencies are ignoring thousands of adverse events. She said, I've been in contact with numerous health agencies, with physicians, with researchers. She's talked to the NIH, to the FDA, to the CDC, to the U.S. Surgeon General. She's talked to doctors at Harvard and Stanford and at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in L.A. Nobody will help her get help for the neurological injuries that she's suffered after getting the vaccine. A friend of ours is in the same situation. They don't offer any help. They don't want to see this as an injury from a vaccine. Hertz was a gastroenterologist. She retired in October. She got her first and only dose of the Pfizer vaccine December the 23rd, 2020. She said there was an opportunity to get the vaccine because the hospital was giving it to every doctor. I didn't know if I would need to go back into the workforce, so I ran to get it. Within 30 minutes, I started experiencing adverse events. I waited the 15 minutes that you're required to wait after you get it, because, you know, a lot of these people have passed out with anaphylactic shock, as we see. All right, they didn't pass out. So she said after 15 minutes, she went to the car, and then her face started burning. I drove home 5 minutes away, and by the time I walked through the door, I told my husband, call the paramedics. My blood pressure was 186 over 127, which I've come to find is characteristic of these reactions. She called her doctor. She took Benadryl. She took steroids in case she was having an allergic reaction. The next day, her face turned completely numb. My entire face felt like it was burning, like acid had been poured on my face. I had sensations throughout my body, like it was vibrating. I felt like I had a tight band around my waist, chest pain, and shortness of breath, and I went to bed for 7 days. She followed up with an allergist. To make a long story short, she cannot get help from anyone. No one. No one. See no evil, speak no evil of the pharmaceutical drugs. If you want to know who controls medicine, it's who they're not allowed to speak evil of. This is financially incentivized malpractice, and it has become criminal. That's it for the weekend. Thank you for joining us.